One of our most successful guests so far. 260,000 views. It was a year ago. We said to everybody out there, if you get 100,000 views on the podcast, you are welcome to come back anytime. And we've got Ian Blink McDonald. Never have I seen so many newspaper articles. He's got scrapbook after scrapbook after scrapbook. And last time he said he was going to speak to me for about 2 hours. It's the all-time longest podcast we've ever done, 3 hours, 35 minutes. We didn't even get to his younger years, so there's all these stories that we've not heard yet that we are going to hear today.
The man's crazy, and that's coming from me.
And he's no cold wild man for nothing.
But Ian Blink McDonald is too deadly for Danny Dyer's deadliest men, and Ian did touch on it last time, but yeah. I'd just like to start out, and thanks so much for coming back. Why are you too deadly for Danny Dyer's deadliest men?
Fuck knows.
What happened?
What happened is I was involved in a gangland war in Glasgow in 2008. I'd done something to somebody, right? I'll not get into it too much, and everybody kept saying in Glasgow, the comeback's coming. And I says, fuck the comeback. I says, getting a fuck, you know what I mean? And I do these thing with the police letters and all that, your life's in danger and that, but I was, fuck that. I'd been to the Old Bailey show and I got 16 years, and with that, Sir Lawrence Verney gave me that sentence, and I managed to get through it, by because it was the longest sentence. I'd been in 10 and a half years, near rehabilitation, straight out the door, and I says, nothing will frighten me again. So this crowd for Glasgow, it was supposed to be a top fucking mob, a fucking make all sorts of threats. And I went, well, come on. So the comeback eventually arrived in 2009. I was staying in a penthouse flat up in a very nice place called Huggingfield Lock. And this woman and her man were just back from Las Vegas. And she jet lagged and she was sitting in the living room. This was May 2009, and she saw this car driving in, but there was a van blocking my car. I had the car with Blink on it. I bought this registration plate about 2 years before it.
Incognito.
Yeah, and I put incognito. You mean hot on July? It was the hottest cunt in Glasgow. So I put this plate on, and after half an hour, I got a phone call for somebody, and he says, I heard you running about your car, you've put a registration called Blink. I went, that's right. They went, did you make it up? I went, don't be fucking silly, did I make it up? I says, I bought it. I says, I've got a bit of trouble, so I've put it on. I says, and I had a Chelsea talk with Blink on it when I was doing Chelsea. So I was just going about, so an innocent bystander wouldn't get shot or bombed, as the case was going to be. So anyway, this woman neighbour, She saw the three people or something driving up at 4 a.m. She had a light out, and she phoned the police, by the way, and she says, I think somebody's trying to steal cars. So the police, they actually came twice. I don't know how they missed us. So the lady's man, Adam, that became good neighbours with them, were good people. And Adam came to the doorbell, and I was there opening my belt and everything, and he's shouting, Ian, and I went, doing this, is there something under your car? I went, by this time, the police were right on me in Glasgow, right? And stopping the car all the time, and they'd even been up, they bugged the fucking house one day when I was in as well. I knew for a certainty they'd done that, but they were trying to catch me with a gun and that in the car, but that wasn't happening, you know what I mean? I'd learnt too much over the years not to be that stupid. So anyway, I went down the stairs with Adam, and I'm saying, it's probably been a tracking device or a bugging device under the car. It's only a small thing, because it happened to my friend just a few weeks before it. I got a bit of a shock. I saw it was a fucking bomb under the car. So another night, and I said, Adam went, what are you going to do? I says, I'm not phoning the police. So another neighbour came and went, oh, I'm phoning the police. I've got children in the thing in this estate and all
what
that.
What kind of damage could that bomb have caused?
Well, the police released a statement. They says it was a viable device. and they says it would have took half the building then. So that's, and they were treating it really serious. What happened? They evacuated about 20 odd houses. This was about 10 in the morning. Know what I done? They evacuated all the houses, not they're shouting, Ian, come out the house. I says, I'm having my cornflakes. So my sister's phoning, going, get out that fucking house. I'm having a shower next.
I'm surprised you didn't go and get your reg.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Fucking as long as you've ever got that. See, no, but I did make a quote while your miner says, not the car. Yeah. Something in the newspaper, know what I mean? They're saying fucking he's more interested in his fucking car than anybody else getting injured. So what happened is I wouldn't give the police a key. They went, give the keys, and I said, fuck all keys, and I mean, my mother stayed round the corner, and they says, it will make it easier. The bomb squad are on their way and all that, and everybody. I says, no, you evacuated me last. I says, fucking, so no, it's fuck yous. And they kept fingering up. So I eventually went down, I went, here's the keys. And I walked through to my ma's, and the bomb squad and all that came up. They used a robot and all that, so they did. And so this was May 2009. This was a Friday.
And, at what point did Danny Dyer's TV production team decide to stop filming you?
Well, they'd already started a couple of days before it.
Yeah.
And what happened is when that bomb went under the car, they just went like that. Whoosh! Straight back down to fucking England. We were faster than Alan Wales, know what I mean? And I says, no, but I says to the wee director guy, I says, listen, mate, I says, there's a gangland war starting here. And he went, what do you mean a gang? I says, this is a gangland. I says, mate, make a name for yourself. He went, fuck that. He says, I'm not getting caught up in this. And they told me, the producer guy told me, he says, listen, this is a story about your past life. And I'm 48 years at the time, Sean. And I'm saying, well, this is going to be good because I'm going right ahead here. So they missed out anyway. They missed out me getting the fucking, you know, I've got a Mars bar, you know what I mean? And,
that'd have been a good story for him, though, wouldn't it, if they stayed around?
Oh, you can only be so deadly. You can't be thoroughly deadly.
No, but Peter, they could have got this all live.
Yeah.
Fucking shootings and fuck knows what. And the guy would have made his name as a director.
Yeah.
A bit of balls, but they never had the balls. And I did say it in front of, I says it loads of times, Danny Dyer is a shite mag. Know what I mean?
And now he fucked stuck off. In EastEnders.
Aye, stuck in EastEnders, know what I mean? Fuck, what's he doing in there?
With an alcoholic wife.
Fucking leaving him. Fuck's
so
sake.
That was just the
beginning. I know we all ate a drink.
That was just the beginning of a strange week.
That was the beginning on Friday, Sean. To tell you the truth, Wild Man, it was one of the worst weeks of my life, apart from going to the Old Bailey and that judge, Sir Lawrence Verney, giving me 16 years. I added on to 2.5 years.
What did that feel like? Gutted.
I thought I was only going to get about 9 or 10. But even that was a big sentence.
Yeah.
But when he says 16, I went, fucking hell, me and Mike Keely McCoy, because we were walking in Belmarsh, we were in the high security unit, and we were going, when's this fucking black tunnel going to end, you know what I mean? And but anyway, getting back to the story, that was the Friday the bomb evacuated and all that, and they took the car away and that, and so there was a newspaper article in the Sunday, I might have made the quote or no, you know what I mean, and it says, they're only wee boys playing with big toys. Well, I think we suffered for that comment. Because on the Tuesday, as I say, my mother was away on holiday and that, and they still had the car, and I had a dog at the time, you know what I mean, a wee Labrador. I went a walk, but I watched this car passed by me twice with three guys in it, but I didn't really think nothing of it. And I got to Arthur Thompson's, who's now I've mentioned before, the godfather of Glasgow. Well, he stayed in Provan Mill Road, and I just walked by there. My mum's round the corner, and another boy, Paul Ferris, and just stayed across the road. So I just get by Thompson's house, and they must have drove by me and plotted up to get me. And I just turned round to get into this. There's a church at my mother's corner. And the next one, I felt a fucking bang in the back of my head, and I went flying. And I got up. And it was a summer's day, May, you know what I mean? I just had a T-shirt and that on. And I used to carry, Sean, you know what I mean? But I never carried that day. because I thought the police were still watching for the bomb. So what happened was the three guys, they were hesitant, know what I mean? But there were like three sharks circling around me.
They're thinking you've got something.
They think I've got something that then I've not produced. Yeah. And I'm like, come on. And you're... So the three of them get a bit gamer. And before you know it, I had a fight with them. But do you know where I ended up? I ended up in a church gate, and one of them had their legs out of us. And we were once trying to cut my fucking throat. But as you can see, they've done that. Well, man, that's fuck all. No. I've got a bigger scratch in my arse, you know what I mean? But, no, it was bad. But my face was hanging right off.
I was going to say, that'd be hanging out, I don't like that.
No, there was children playing in my mother's street, and there was a nurse there, Carol, and she ran down with bandages and all that. And I went along to my mother's house, she was in, and I ended up going up to the hospital. So they kept me in for 2 days. And they done it. Was bad. No, I mean, I'm saying a scratch in the arse, but it was bad. I just say that anyway. No, I mean, because if you give it out, get it back. That's my motto. I've been doing it all my life, Sean. Peter, know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been involved in violence from a young age. Know what I mean? So.
But
see, to tell you the truth and to tell the viewers the truth, I never expected to ever be slashed. But I'm a bit of a hypocrite with saying that because I've gave it out plenty of times. So it was easy, Ozzy. Not a problem. I'm in hospital in Canisburn, and obviously the doctors and that were good in there. And they done some job. They fucking stitched right up because it was hanging off. So I was in hospital for the Tuesday to the Thursday. I get out and... I went and collected my car. That was all full of forensic dust and all that. And fuck knows what, this bomb thing had been moved at it and been made safe. And so I started running about, and I was saying to people, I'm going to fucking war here. I'm not letting this go. I had a rough idea. So on the Friday, me and my pal were up my flat in Huggingfield Lock. My pal says, oh, there's six coppers coming in your CID, you know, in the suits. And... he says, don't let, I says, no, I'll let them in. It was Friday tea time. And I went, aye, what is that? And they were like that. Oh, you know, can we talk to you? I went, come on, what is it? And they went, no, it's about you. We're up to arrest you. And I went, wait a fucking minute. Am I not the fucking victim here? There's a bomb under the motor. I've been fucking slashed. Right, what is up to arrest me for? They says, well, tell you, we're in the police station. But I thought they'd heard me conspiring to fucking murder people or whatever, but it wasn't that. See, we went to the police station. They put me on a taped interview, and they went, you were at this nightclub Boho, and you were shouting at the bouncers and calling them names, and I went, is that it? And they says, what are you going to say in the interview? I says, I'm saying fuck all. I says, it's one load of shite.
Yeah.
It was just to get me off the street. So it was. So they kept me in for the Friday to the Sunday, to the Monday, but something happened on Saturday, late on Saturday night. The Blinkmobile, as I called it. that was sitting outside my flat, and they've decided, so they can't bomb it, so they've petrol bombed it. So 4 CID come up to my cell on a Sunday morning, and I'm just lying there. You know you're lying, I say, fuck all today, you know what I mean? And... four of them, they weren't up to take me to church, Sean, you know what I mean, being a Sunday morning. And they says to me, listen, your car get petrol bomb last night? I went, my car get petrol bomb? I says, and where were you? I just went. So that was, so that, then I went to court on the Monday, right? And my lawyer says to me, by the way, you can through a private hearing, and a private hearing in Scotland is a top charge, that you're in private. And it's supposed to be serious. But my lawyer's lying. I mean, this is a breach of the peace. You shouldn't have been in a private hearing. But it was because of all this stuff was happening. But when we went into court, a breach of the peace, the PF stood up, this woman.
It's a non-prisonable offence, isn't it?
It's fuck all, but they had me up on it. It's called an indictment.
Yeah.
Where you could get 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, which was ridiculous. And it was, because see the prosecutor fiscal, the woman... it was a young bird, and she started going, oh yes, he's got bad previous convictions. That's no problem, man. Bad previous. This man's in a gangland war. There's been a bomb under his car. He's been slapped. And my lawyer went, wait a minute, this is a breach of the peace here, and you're bringing all that out because that subduces. And but see, the sheriff, to be fair to him, he went, I'll have a word with you later. And my lawyer stood up and went, yes, he's got bad previous convictions. It's a breach of the peace. It shouldn't be in a private closed court hearing. Sorry. And he went bail. So I went back up to my estate, and everybody was like, oh, did you cop me a gun or something? I went, no, I was talking about a breach of the peace. So it was like EastEnders fucking up there. There was something there was something happening in my estate every fucking week with the police or whatever. And I think the neighbours actually fucking loved it. It was better than the soaps.
Yeah, exactly.
So that week, I must say, it came in a parry, the Old Bailey. And people tried to kill me twice in 2 days, 3 days. But
so Monday there was a... What, how did you say it?
Friday there was a bomb. Tuesday there was a slashing. Friday I was lifted off the streets. And Saturday night, the car got petrol bombed. And Monday, I went to this private hearing. So it was a bad week.
Welcome to the world of Ian Blink MacDonald. And yeah, we are just getting started. This was just the introduction story.
No, that's a later story. That's not an early year story.
That's not crazy fucking week, isn't it?
I know.
Most people don't go through that in a lifetime. I've never had 1 week.
I know. I'm barely under the water here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was out last night, Sean and Peter put me up in a lovely hotel last night, and we meant to just go for a couple of drinks. I ended up fucking steaming. I get barred for a pub. Yeah. I went doing that, is it Matthew Street?
Oh, Matthew Street, yeah.
And then there's a pub there, and fucking get. And I was talking to, and the guy went, oh, you need. I went, what? He went, and don't try and go to any of the other pubs, we owe them and all. I went, oh, fucking great. Welcome to Liverpool. But the Liverpool people are great because we were in a restaurant, and there was a woman there and a couple other people, and they were trying to skip the queue.
Got a beer?
And this woman, aye, fuck it. Aye, thanks, Peter. Me as well, I don't drive. And this lovely woman wheeled that to me. She could have went next, and she went, oh, you're next. I went, oh, that's very kind of you. I says, fuck, you wouldn't get that out in Glasgow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're quite friendly people.
Oh, they got a good laugh in Liverpool, yeah, as well. Yeah. Got really good atmosphere.
And I know, can I tell you this as well before I forget, lads? Do you know it's been 40 years since I've been in the night? I get the nick at 18. And I was in Walton.
Ah, right.
And Risley Grizzly. Have you heard the Risley Grizzly?
Have you been in there?
I haven't been there.
I don't want to get into it too much because I done it in another podcast.
Yeah.
But when I was 18, I was in a. At the time, I was stealing. You know what I mean? I was coming down before I was graduating, going up. You know what I mean? I was going in stealing fucking TVs and videos and all that.
I was in Walton.
I think it was Betamax at the time. You know what I mean? Many cunt knows.
I was in
Walton. Have you been in Walton, Peter?
Yeah, 91.
Well, that's where I get the big sentence.
Yeah.
But I was in 79.
Fucking hell.
I was born in 61. So I was 18, Sean. It's 40 years ago. And it's... I don't know where the time goes.
So I went to
Risley Grizzly first. Do you know that?
Risley, yeah.
I think it's a women's prison and that now. But there was no Windies and it was fucking mate. I was in there for 3 weeks. Then I got 6 months and I went to Walton. So I did.
Yeah.
And while I was in there, freaking Two Guys Escapes, you know what I mean? I heard it on the local. I went, fucking hell. But it was good. So I liked it.
What was your life back in those years then when you were younger?
When I was younger, I don't like to bore you because I went into thing with other stories in that podcast saying, oh, I was born in Springburn, this and that, and approved schools. I'll just shoot into. Well, shooting is the correct terminology because I'm going to talk about shooting. I'll give you just something straight off my head. I was about 26, 27, Sean, and there was a pub round the corner for us called Shields's Bar. My brother Gary went out with Lorraine, her dad owned it, and Gary, he was wild and all. He got 8 years when he was 19 for slashing somebody, you know what I mean? Slashing my throat and he get Borstal for stabbing somebody, but he's been out of trouble 30 years now.
Wow.
And there's a brother, Alan, the Freeze, have always been in trouble.
Yeah.
I've got a sister, God bless her, she's quiet. She's,
have your brothers watched your podcasts?
One. Oh, aye.
What did they say about
them? Oh, they love it. Love it. No, my brother, Alan, the story I'm going to tell just now, Alan's 4 years younger than me. And I says, I'm going to tell a couple of the stories because they're all wild, know what I mean? And this is back in the 80s. Late 80s, I would be in 20s. So there's a story with me, Alan, brother Gary, somebody I was seeing, a girl, my mother, guy my mother was going out with, a couple of pals with a shotgun there. In the pub. No, Sean, because... I'd done something again, right, to somebody, right? Right, somebody been cheeky, right? And they were shouting, comeback's coming, comeback's coming. So I says to my young brother, he stayed my mother's, I says, Alan, see if somebody comes to the door, pull it back. Because Sean knew what the dirty bastards were saying, and it became true. They were saying they were going to send somebody to my mother's door. This is me having an argument with a guy in a nightclub in Glasgow. I'm 23, 24. And some people were saying, by the way, he's sending somebody up to your ma's door to shoot you. That doesn't happen. You don't go to doors with guns and all that. That's no
don't the bring thing. Someone's mother into it.
So what happened? We're in this pub, it was a Sunday, and my young brother Alan, who I'm talking about, he'll love the mention here. And
cheers, Alan.
cheers for my old man in Fingridge, Sean. Telling him all about his Sean, what happened was Alan got a drink spilt on him, and it was about 8 o'clock on a Sunday night or something, and he spun round to the house, round to my mother's house, but see, when he was going to the house, he didn't realise there was a car circling round, because a neighbour told me later, and I think they might have thought it was me, because I was just released. I'll tell you this in a minute. I was just released from prison for shooting somebody. So I was a couple of months before it. So what happened with Alan? He changed his shirt.
Self-defense.
And the door went, I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty, you know what I mean? I never done it. I got accused of it. But I never done it. But I went to the High Court and all that. But I'll get into that in a minute. But Alan had a spilt shirt, and they've saw him get into the house, and the door, they've trapped the door, and Alan spilt the door. And they fired a shotgun twice. That could have been my mother. That could have been my dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is 35 years ago or something. And so what happened is, we're in the pub, and somebody runs into me, because it's only 2 minutes round the corner, and they says to me, your young brother's outside, he's been shot, Alan. I went, what? Fuck. So I ran out, he hadn't been shot. Sean, he was just... Shocked. And he's shocked, really shocked, wild man, know what I mean? And he's gone like that, and I'm pulling his jumper up, and he went, but I thought he was kidding on. He's gone, two guys came to the door, he says, I done what you done, pulled the door to the side, and they fired the fucking gun in. And I went, what? He says, and it was just a bundle of nerves. I went, you've no been shot. So we've ran round, Sean. We've all ran round to the house, and you could see that the door, one of the bedroom doors, had been shot with a shotgun, and you could see pellets, and you could see there was plaster and bits of wood over the thing. So you know what I'd done? I got a hoover out. I knew the police were going to be on their way. So I'm no, even the guys have done that, I'll find out who they are, but I'm not wanting to go to the neck. So I'm trying to hoover all the evidence up. You know what I mean? And they caught me, the police arrived, they went, make it down, I'm fucking hoovering all the stuff up, just came after fucking was, you know what I mean? With a shotgun. Aye. And what happened? They took me to the police station. Right, see a couple of months before it, Sean, there was a shooting, right, where it was alleged 4 men went into a car sales garage in Denniston. And a guy was targeted in the sales office, and he was shot. He wasn't killed. But I heard through the grapevine they were looking for me, right? So I made myself scarce, and I went through to Edinburgh for a week, and a boy had met years before in Durham when I was then 18 months, 18 months for stealing out of jewellers. And I was 21 or something, 22, and I met this boy, Peter. I done a couple of robberies with him, so I did. And I mentioned that in the book, and stayed with him for a few weeks. But
if you want Ian's book, in the description box below this video is a link to it worldwide. You can get it on Amazon.
Aye, so after about 5 weeks, Sean, I get captured. I came back to Glasgow. The CID saw me driving this car, and I got bunched. I tried to know it was Gary. And the thing was, that was me. I was in Berlin. And while I was in Berlin, we went to trial. And the guy changes the evidence and all that, so he did. So the judge says, right, thing was, he's been acquitted. Me and other two blocks for this shooting. And while I was in Berlin, when I got the not guilty, the judge says, you're free to go, me and my pals. And they've walked out the dock, and I went to walk out, and the prison officers went, where are you going? I says, well, you heard the judge, not guilty, you walk out. He says, come on, Ian, you've just been done with free prison, assaulting free prison officers in fucking Berlin a couple of weeks before it, and I was remanded. And I went, I was just chancing my arm, know what I mean? Because they'd been remanded, but Sean, there was a shoe weight lifted off my head. I thought it was only 10 or 12 years if things went wrong, know what I mean? So that was nothing. So I went back to Berlin. I ended up, the charges got watered down, and I went to court. My lawyer came up to see me, and he went, look, he says, I've dropped it from indictment into summary. Plead guilty, you get 6 months. I went to court and I got admonished. Do you know what I says in my mitigation for my lawyer? And that this was kind of a true. I says, a young prison officer's in Berlin. They were noising me up because it became, I had trouble in there a few times, Sean, in Berlin. And they were coming to my door saying things like, oh, you fucked your bird and all that last night. So I commit myself one day, and I just says, fuck it. And I had one of these plastic cups, and I went to get up the stairs, and this young officer went like that. He said, where are you going? They just fucking smashed fuck out him with the cup and punched him. Mm-hmm. Ran up the stair, and all the guys in the top landing in Berlin, they were all throwing furniture and chairs. And so I ended up, the end result, I ended up with three assaults and a breach.
Yeah.
So easy, Ozzy, you know what I mean? So get away with that. And that was in the early 80s. That was the Ranger Club with Alan. He was in the shot. But I've got another good story involving a gun as well. We'll get into the gun theme. Yeah. I know your viewers like crime, Sean. And thing with crime sells, doesn't it? Fuck. So
we like the hardest core crime stories on this channel.
Yeah, that's the best ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the best ones, definitely. So there's another one, I've just picked one just now. I used to go and see this band in the early 80s as well, when I'm a young boy in my 20s. I used to go and see this band, Scheme Peter, very well known in Glasgow. They would have made it, right? But
yeah,
they were singing CND songs and anti-government and all that. They were really good. They were called Scheme. And I don't know if I mentioned them in Sean's before, this group. But what happened was, I'm in watching them. They played on a Saturday afternoon, and they played in a place called Maxwell Plums in Clyde Street, which all the viewers in Glasgow my age will know, you know what I mean? So they were playing this Tuesday, Wednesday night, and somebody shouted me, it's nice, Peter.
It's nice, isn't it? Desperados is called.
Sean's teetoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this guy's, somebody came in and went, oh, your pal, I'll not mention his right name, know what I mean? I'll just call him Barry. And he I went outside. The next minute he's pulling out a fucking, it's in the book, Assassin in My Shoes, it's called. And he's waving a fucking a pistol. And he's shouting, I'm going to kill the Irishman. No, the Irishman follow me, it's a way back. And I went, and I knew this guy's, right? And I went, he'd a contract for this guy. And I went, and I says, no, you know, I says, don't be fucking stupid. So he's waving his pistol about outside this Maxwell Plums and Schemer plane. Only these guys are walking by, and I went, here, mate, that's a pea shooter. Only in Glasgow would somebody say that. My pal just went like that, pea shooter. Bang, bang, flyer into the door. But luckily, Scheme were playing, and they've got loads of songs. I think the song that was playing that night, it's only, you're only a cowboy, or only a cowboy. Well, and that drowned out the shooting. But he certainly was a cowboy that night, a real cowboy.
A real cowboy.
a real gun. So that was a mental incident, you know what I mean?
You've mentioned about all the different, there's like gangland wars.
Yeah.
Just so people can like grasp this a little bit. Like when people hear gangland, they think like Bloods, Crips, Bananos versus Gambinos. In Glasgow, how are the gangs structured and who's at war with each other?
How's the gang structure, Sean? It's a lot to do with your area. You're brought up. Say, like, see my area, that'd be your gang. Poso, Milton, Pollock. Most of the gangs are based in the Schemes. But
so is it like
that used to be years ago, but nowadays, as people know, people from other place, and they're forming kind of a gangs and drug.
So are they like prominent families in the areas? Like this, we had Stephen Sayers on here. His family was a prominent family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know John Sayers. Yeah. John Sayers was in Full Sitting, and I played a couple of games of badminton with him. I didn't know him too well.
Yeah.
But I never met. Is it Stephen and Michael?
Stephen, we had on.
They were in the same time as me.
Yeah.
When I was doing my sentence in England. And I never ever met Stephen or Michael, but I met John. John's a bit of a lad, so he is. Yeah.
Which do you prefer, Scottish food or English food in jail?
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, wait, I'll tell you this, wild man. Never mind Scottish or English. I prefer Jamaican food. Everybody was calling me eating a Jamaican. They make black-eyed peas and jerk chicken and all that. And I loved that, but Black Eyed Peas, I was going, Black Eyed Peas, it's a fucking, it's a group. But, no, there was a guy across from me in Long Larton, his name's Naps, if he's watching us, hello Naps. I saw him in a programme last year, he's doing well for himself. He was doing 18 years, he gets shot six times. So what happens in the English jail, Sean, you can buy your own food, you can buy chicken, steaks, mince, every vegetable, vegetable or the season stuff and all that, know what I mean?
Fucking brilliant.
Everything,
that.
No, it was brilliant. In Scotland, it's back in the caveman ages.
You just get slop on a tray.
You get a tin of tuna and a chicken.
Yeah.
We just got a pot noodle and things like that.
Yeah.
But see, in England, there was guys there. They were better than MasterChef. There was a guy, David Poole, he was in the Knightsbridge robbery. And the meals he was making, because you were getting all the ingredients and everything. But you say English or Scottish, none. Jamaican. I used to say to the boys for Jamaica and all that. I says, fucking, I think I'm turning into a Jamaican. No, I love, have you ever heard the Black Eyed Peas and church chicken? I think it's beautiful.
I had black eyed peas. I had it once in Brixton. I was there on an appeal. I'd gone from Accrington, Northumberland, and my solicitor thought I've got a good chance of having an appeal.
Right.
And I ended up travelling down there, and they keep you there for the weekend. And I was in court on the Monday, and stayed there for the weekend. And the first meal they gave us was the black eyed peas and that. And the first time I tried it, it was fucking all right.
I loved it. So I would just buy the boys, and I'd say to them, like, see if I buy you a chicken and all that, can you make a meal? They're getting a meal at it as well. But getting back into the shooting stuff, there's a few in the 80s. I was at a concert, and this was near the end of the 80s. I think it was 1990. And it was in Glasgow. It's a big place called Glasgow Green. And Sheena Easton was there. Sheena Easton is an acclaimed international singer. She moved to America. Yeah. She comes from Bells Hill. She had a song you might remember, 95, and she had one of the James Bond theme songs. So she did. I don't know if it was in 95, but she had one.
She was
one.
Massive, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. Massive. Yeah. But Sean, she wasn't massive in Glasgow that night. She adopted a semi-American accent, and I think she thought she was too big for everybody. And at the end of the concert, when she was on, she's singing 95, and they're all going like, "Aye, 95, it back of the Atlantic fucking ocean," and they were all throwing paper cups and cans and all that. She didn't get in a treat, but that's no the reason I'm thinking, saying this story. This story, I came out the concert. I was with my missus at the time and my pal, and we had a bit of rivalry. It was rivalry all the time. And these three people spotted me. And I saw them, Sean, and I carried on. I put my hand in there, carried on with a gun. And it put them off a wee bit, right? Because I knew it was dangerous. No, I knew they would have been gunned up. But I got into my car, and where it was parked, I had to reverse. And I saw them running towards us, and it looked like a fucking shotgun, but I think it was a spear gun, right? So anyway, I managed to fucking reverse it, and I drove up to London Road. People in Glasgow and that will know that. And I'm sitting at the traffic lights, and I went, "Fucking bastards and all that." I said, "Fucking going to do them in, blah, 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 blah." Because I'm with my missus and that at the time, I know. And they've only jumped into another car, Sean. And see, when I'm sitting at the traffic lights, I'm sitting there, right? It's about 10 o'clock at night, and I saw this car in my mirror, and it's going fast, fast. I says, "This cunt's not going to stop." I didn't even realise it was in. Sean fucked me right into the back of my car, right, and I nearly got shot this time. The car came spinning round, and one of the guys jumped to it, and he done that, seen the car right at my face, and the drivers, and I just fucking managed to get away. And that was a serious incident. So, but that guy paid for that, so he did. He got paid for that, he got shot.
How many attempts have there been on your life?
I'd say about 7 or 8.
Which ones haven't we talked about?
But we've spoken about the two up at the Ruginfield Lock. I've spoken about that one. There's been another two or three, you know what I mean?
You're okay to talk about those?
Aye.
What's the worst nightmare you've had? What was the worst day you've had?
Eh?
What's the worst day you've had?
What's the worst, wildest?
Yeah.
Wildest.
That's a good question for Peter, aye.
With his name being Wild Man?
Aye, yeah. With your name being Wild Man, yeah. I should be asking you that first, but I'll tell you my story first, since you asked. No. Wait a minute, this is not going to be too long. This is not going to be too difficult to think about this one, Peter. The wildest night I've ever had, and I've had a few wild nights, right?
Yeah.
2006, it's in the book, Pain in Spain. I was going to Benidorm, right? I'd just been back from Belfast for 2 days. I was mad with it, fully up, and the girlfriend wasn't too happy, you know what I mean? And we left on the Friday to go to Benidorm. But I'd been arrested in Benidorm 20-odd years before that. So we got to the airport, and I met this guy, Jim Brown. He owned Barcini, a pub in Glasgow. And I says to him, this was a Friday, and I says to him, I says, "Jim, I says, the last time I was in Benidorm, I get the jail." He says, "I'm throwing this fucking donkey, throwing the plane for my man, like a cane T-shirt." And he's went, "Oh, they're not going to jail this time." So Friday night, we were staying in a hotel called Hotel Melia. It's a 4-star hotel, right? And we were 16 up. The reason I'm saying that, I'll explain later. I'm fucking lucky I never get through it. So the girlfriend, Sean, at the time, I'll not mention her name. She was an air hostess at the time, but Friday night went okay. I was in a cunty mood because I'd just been on it for 2 days. I was in Belfast, right? And you get the come downs.
Yeah.
And she wasn't happy. So we go to the airport, and we'd been arguing, but things went all right. So we arrived in Benidorm. Friday night was okay, right? Saturday night, down at the pool, went swimmingly. You know what I mean? That was great. Right. But little did she realise, Sean, right? This is the beginning of the story. Little did she realise that I'd smuggled 7 gram of pure cocaine in my body to Spain, right?
Keep you going.
I keep no, but I wasn't going to take it because I'd finger. I says, if she's a bit cheeky, I'll take it. If she's no cheeky, but she wasn't a cheeky around the Seabury time it came Saturday night. We went out for a meal and all that, then a karaoke. I was joking to take a line, but the stuff was back in the hotel, right? I'd planked it in the hotel. So we ended up arguing and all that. She says, no, I'm finished, no, and you're finished. So we went back to the hotel when she's went into the toilet or something. I've got this cane and I put a big line out. That's what I snort at. I've gone, this is fucking brilliant. And she came in, she went, what the fuck's that? And I grabbed the bag in case she tried to fucking kick it or something. And she went, where did you get that from? I says, I brought it with me. She says, you brought that through the airport? I went, oh, I was a bringer with that. Right? So I had a couple of bottles of, the San Miguel there. So I went out of the landing. This was about 12 o'clock. And I was swinging my boat up San Miguel, another patsy. That's what they call it in Glasgow, a patsy. Yeah. And what happened was, I looked at the stars and the stars were saying to me, Ian, you're in Benidorm on a Saturday night, get on out there.
Yeah.
So you know what I done? I came in and she went, oh, you junkie bastard and all that, right? But she took it as well, you know what I mean? She was just raging. So I went like that. I had my flip-flops, my shorts, my T-shirt on, and I went into the wee safe. Took about €400, right? Took my Charlie. So I walked into this taxi rank. So there was an older guy at the front and there was a younger guy at the back. So I'm thinking, right, the older guy, I says to him, because I knew what I was going to do, I says to the older guy, listen, mate, I says, can I use the younger guy? He went, no, I'm first. I says, no, here's €10. He went, okay. So the younger guy jumped in and I says, all right, mate. He went, yeah. I went, take me to brothel. Right? This is the beginning of the thing. This story is mental.
Oh, boy.
This story, and I'm sure Peter have a few mental stories and yourself, Sean, but this, he asked me that, so this is a wild story, right?
Yeah,
one of my wildest nights, and it's just hotting up here, right? So he says, take me to a brothel, right? So he started taking me outside the outskirts of Benidorm, and I'm fully, see this stuff, Sean?
Paranoid.
It was dynamite, right? So I'd had about three lines here. So I went, mate, am I going to be all right and all that? And he's going, aye. I says, right in the dark. And it was like a wee kind of a row of houses, or a wee pub. And I went, I'm going to get fucking bumped here or something, you know what I mean?
So the guy
went, listen, go in there. He says, you'll be sorted. He says, I'll wait for you, mate. I says, will you wait for me? I says, look, I'm not going to be in long, right? I went, you're not going to be in long, but you're going to get that. You know what I mean? So I went in. And there was about 10 girls standing about, Sean. And me in my haste, right, I was like, I grabbed one of them and she looked like Kylie Minogue. So she did, right? And she went, you like me? I went, aye. And then the madame came here and she says, would you like to go with that girl? I went, aye. She says, well, do you want to get her a drink? I went, aye. And she went, what do you drink? I says, a vodka and coke, get the girl one. She went, 80 euros. And I went, 80 euros? I says to myself, well, look, I'm getting fucked, but I'm only in for a fuck, right? So I wasn't really bothering, no, I mean, I was just didn't no bother, she's not getting another one. So she says to me, hey, how long do you want to get in me for? I says, as short as possible. My name's blank, so I'm in and out quick. You know what I mean? I did, Sean. It was just, it was something wicked in my mind. I was saying, see, the girlfriend, I'm getting her back. But what am I getting her back for? She's not done nothing.
But in your head, she had.
I know. That's right, mate. So, Sean, I went in with her, right? Honest to gods, I wasn't even a minute. There was a mirror in the room, and my shorts were after. I kept looking at the mirror saying, somebody going to come in here and steal my shorts, because it was a wee out. right? So that never happened. And so know what she says to me? I was the only minute she went, is that it? It's a bit embarrassed. And showing €150 for that.
Did she give you a discount?
And I went like, answer, you should be so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of Kylie Minogue's songs that you've all had them in. Because €150 for no even, not even a minute is a lot. So anyway, I came out of there, and this was the Kylie Minogue grant. That was over €200 spent in there. I came out, the taxi driver sitting there, right? And I'll try and say this story quick because it is
no,
a bit
you
long.
Take as long as you want.
No, because it is a bit long.
It's okay, it's fine, honestly. It's fine. We like the longer, the better. Okay, the longer, the better.
Yeah, I'll try and finish it.
The story is not finished yet. Story. It's going to be, it's just.
Sean, I've got the paperwork, say, thing with it, if you can read in Spanish.
Yeah.
But you see it, it's in the newspaper, not the Glasgow newspaper.
We love long stories.
So, right, so Sean, this story's just heating up, right? So this is
just
me.
Just heating up.
I've been in Kylie Minogue. I meant, is that it? You should be so lucky, right? So the taxi driver's still there, the young guy, because I says, look, mate, I says, I'll give you a good tip. You know what I mean? That's €400 or €500 that I took out the safety box and the safe in the room. And, so what happens is I says to the guy, I says, mate, that was fucking brilliant. No, no. And he went, are you all right? I went, I've only done a minute, mate. What's with that? So I says to him, mate, I says, listen, you used to go like this, right? You know, you used to go like this, because it's a good subject to you, and it's how your downfalls came. I says to the guy, they're called all different things, right? Ecstasy, not. I says, listen, I says, try to pigeon talk. Can you get me for ecstasy, right? And he went, yes. I says, can you take me to All Night Rave? Yes. I says, mate, there's a good tip in it for you. So Sean, he took me back in town, and was glad, know what I mean? But the guy turned out all right. He got me four eckies, so they were only about 10 of each, right? Sean, I gave him £100. I gave him £100 tip.
Wow.
No, I was gonna get a fuck. No, I mean,
yeah, he was a good guy.
I was gonna get a fuck and get my fucking neck. He was a good guy. So I gave him £100 tip, and so that was what. I still had about €150 or something anyway, but I still had my coke, right? This dynamite coke. So I'm 48 years of age, right? No, I'm not 48 years of age. This is 2006. I'm 44, 45, right? And I'm getting like that, right? And I'm like, I could build enough to be half of the girls and the rave's dads, you know what I mean? She hears me go like, yeah, this is fucking great, been to a brothel, knew I'm at a rave, four eckies, right? And I went into the toilet, took a wee sneaky line, I didn't really need it because of the eckies. So the story's getting good now. So I've wandered, Sean, I've come out of there about 7 a.m, right? And I'm blazing, right? I've been drinking as well. I'm drinking eckies, cocaine. So I went into this wee Irish pub. Now the pubs in Spain all open, some open all night and all that. So I'm in I've ended up staggering. I didn't know where I was. I ended up staggering into this wee Irish pub. And there was a wee couple there, the barman. So there's three English guys, right? So I says, they were playing pool. And I says, mate, I says, he went, aye, no bother. So I kept getting in out of the toilet twice, and one of them went, here, big man. He says, you're fucking blazing. I says, mate, I says, I shag Kylie Minogue, I've been to a rave, get four eckies. I says, and I've got this coat. And they were like that, and he says, going to use one. I went, aye. Still got 2 or 3 grand left. So I gave him a couple of lines. Do you know what they says to you, Sean? They were three workers, right? There were three workers in Benidorm, and talking away half an hour, and they went, by the way, that stuff's fucking great. Where'd you get it? I says, I brought it from Glasgow. They're like, what? That's for Glasgow? I says, aye, that's for Glasgow. So as the morning went on, right, so 10:30, I went, I'm going to get in to swing me the hotel, right? And gets round to the tail. So I says to the guys, I says, listen, I says,
does any of you know what the Hotel Mamelia is? And they all went, aye. And before saying anything else, I went, why are you running me to my hotel? I thought it was miles away, right? I'll give you a gram of that. Oh, will you? I went, aye. Sean, it was only round the corner. I was that fucking failure. Right, Sean, yeah, well, man, it was only just literally two streets. So no wonder this is it. So I'm sitting in the car, right? But I don't know my girlfriend. She's stoning. It's about 10:30. She's stoning at the front of the entrance, right?
Waiting for you.
So I've been out for about 12:30, so you say 10:30. And so she saw me sitting with this guy. So I know what she says. And I send myself up in the book. And that's not what I mean. And because it's just no good. Oh, I make fun of myself as well. I try to make the book quite funny as well. When I wrote it, I just didn't like, oh, this and that, and just lighten
it up.
Some
humour
in,
is
yeah.
It? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's quite better. Yeah. Man, know what I mean? A lot of humour in this book.
Especially Wild Man stories.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to ask him his stories in a minute. So this story's nearly finished, but this is the finale coming up. So she's standing there, and I just went, I saw her and I just walked right by her, and she went like to me.
Yeah.
No, she says to me, Peter, she went, is that your boyfriend? Because she's still been the guy with the car. No, but I turned around, so I turned around and went, and what if that is? I'm on eckies, I'm on coke, I'm on drink, right? So I'm walking towards the reception. She's only 10 hours to get her stuff out or whatever. We've never even had much stuff. We're only there, gone there for 4 days. A wee short break. She shouted, am I no getting my stuff out the bedroom? And I went, no! So she ran out to the reception desk and she shouted, I want security. No, I done. I fucking just got up and went right out to the reception desk and went, do you know what? Get the fucking police here. Fuck the security. I'm away with it then. I'm just away with it. But then I've done the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I walked by her and I says to her, and there was a big crowd of people checking in and I says to her, I says, listen, I says, I says to her, see if the police come up to this door. I says, I'm going to battle them. Sean, wild man, you can't batter fucking Spanish police. I've got guns on them. But see, when I say something, I mean it, right?
Yeah.
And see when I was going up, and it was 16 up, but see when I was going up, I went, oh no, I hope the police don't come up. I says, because I was, my head was away with it, right?
But you said this, so you're going to follow through.
I says it, so I've got to follow through. Yeah. This is what I'm thinking on my drug-induced state. And so I went up to the flat, still got about 2 gram of gear left, the supersonic stuff, taking big lines, and I'm walking up in the flat, and I'm going like that. See if they come in that door, I'm going to attack them. Then I'd walk up again, and go, no, you don't, just cool down. Then I'd take another big one like that, and it was like that. I fucking just attack them. But I'm not thinking the consequences of the guns. So I phoned a pal up, and I told him the situation. He went, oh, come on, is you on holiday? And I says, look, I've had a big argument. I've got cool. He says, get ready up. So as soon as I put the phone down to him, you know where I get ready at? I put it on the table and took another big line. But this time I'm Superman. Sean, the moment of truth dawns. The door goes, right? Remember, we're 16 up in this place. I went, I just took another big line, and I was fucking, I felt like Superman. And I says, right, I'm going to fucking attack you if you're there. Sean, open the door. Two young police. She's in the middle. Two security guards, right? And I went, but see, to be perfectly honest, right, I'm not thinking, just going to see other cunts and all the rest of it, right? Because this is the right story. See the two policemen, right? They were 26, 27. They were civil, they were nice. And they says to us, listen, can we come into the room to get her belongings? And I says, no. I says, you've got a fucking warrant. And they went, what? And I went, slammed the door. So I went, right, get ready. get ready, but I didn't know what I was going to do. So you know what I done, Sean? The door came flying open, I ran there, see the bedside table. This is the wildest night of my life, you know what I mean? The wild man's asking me. This is the story. I grabbed the lamp and I fucking ran out and I smashed one in my head with it. Sean, this is true. This is true. It's in the book, Pain in Spain, right? So I smashed him where the head, but see, for a note, the twos are in the deck. He's trying to get his gun, right? And I'm like, ah, and see the other cop and the two security guards. We've ended up out in the balcony, right? But they've had my cuffs in the back, and she's in the room as well. So they were like, ah, fucking bastards, so they're rolling their sleeves up. Do you know they've got these big long buttons? So they brought them out, right? I knew I was in for a tat. I'm on the balcony, right? 16 up. And but I didn't want her to see that I'm showing any fear. And it was sore. See if I never had ecstasy, cocaine, drink.
You know you're going to get a walloping.
Aye. So know what they done? They went, come on, they were smashing me. Right, do you know what I was shouting, Sean? I was shouting. Instead of going, ah, I was going, harder! But here, not only because she was standing with a smirk in her face, but she says to me, when I spoke to her fucking months later, she says, I says, look, you did. I says, and I wasn't giving you the satisfaction of me shouting, ah! But see the drugs? They numbed it a wee bit, but I could fucking feel it. Well, what do you hear the best about it? Yeah. Right, wait to hear this, my old man. Right, wait to hear the best about it. They've only fucking left me and took my cuffs off. They went, we've done them too much damage. They broke my fingers, there was fucking damage on, bruises all down my fucking leg. And I'm surprised there was nothing broken, you know what I mean? So I was in a bit of a state. Do you know what I done? Stupidly. And I still can't believe this. I was unconscious for about a minute, Sean. And they went out the door.
Go after
I fucking only ran out the fucking door. They were running out and I went, come on! And I jumped right on top of them. So by this time, they've got me down. They've got me in the lift, right? The security guards. And they went, you think you hard man, blah, 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 blah. Pulty's gone out and they put it in my mouth.
Fucking hell.
I've never shit myself so much in all my life.
Mm.
No, I've never shit myself so much in my life. So he went, you fucking hell. And I'm putting it right in and I'm going, fucking hell. So see me down at the bottom of the thing there. Hadn't the thing we stopped yet. I managed to run away from him. I just fucking ran away in my flip flops. And the next minute they ran after me and I went flying. They got me with the feet. And I went flying, so they put me in this van, and I just went mental. I was fucking banging weed off the window, right? But
cocaine, psychosis by this time, aren't it?
But see this cocaine, wild man, it was fucking strong.
It was strong.
These guys from England were like, ah, where the fuck did you get that?
Yeah.
So the story's coming to an end, and there's a wee bit of a punchline here, you know what I mean?
I don't want it to end, I'm just gripped.
Yeah, right. I am too.
So, they've got me at the police station, right? Sean, I thought I was in for a tanking in my life, right? To be fair again, they never touched me, right? I could say, oh, I've got tortured, but no, that never happened.
So, you've got enough though, haven't you?
So I did, and I was very lucky, right? Because seeing later weeks when I thought about it as well.
Yeah.
Right, see when they found out my conviction, 16 years, 2.5 years for a gun.
If you had your cocaine and all that through you, man, you'd have been fucking hurting.
Wild man, do you know what I'm surprised they never done? I'm surprised they never just threw me on that fucking balcony. They'd have got away with it.
I was thinking they would dangle you.
You know, thinking
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Sean, they would have got away with that. See, yeah. My convictions and me attacking them. But see, if they knew that, they probably would have put me on the fucking balcony.
If they knew your convictions, you probably would have.
That's what I'm saying. They'd have just right there. So anyway, we're in the police station. They're putting me in with five guys, right? Algerians, I think it was, in Spanish. So this is a kind of a laughing bit here, right? Now, there is a wee bit of funny bit to it, right? And because I'm acting a bit smart. And so I'm in for a couple of days. They wouldn't give me a couple of watts. See the boys, the Algerians and all that, they're going, oh, mate, you got the neck and all that. They says, you end up getting pumped. And I went, I says, then I went, here. I says, I'm not just a wee tourist. It's just been lifted for a stupid wee hang and all that. I says, I've been in prison. I says, Etta? Etta? They went, aye. I sit with IRA. Right? So I'm letting them know I'm no a dafty. IRA trained the Etta. Do you know who I'm talking about?
The best terrorist?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's believed that the IRA trained them. So I sat with the IRA in the neck. Right, a lot of good guys in there. Even though a lot of people wouldn't freaking agree with that, but there's still people in there in the neck. You've got to get along with them. So I was going like that. Etta? And they went, what? I went, I says, don't think I'm a fucking stupid thing, mate. Can't, because they're going, oh, you get shagged and all the rest of it. So anyway, we go to court. The story's coming to an end. And I'm being appointed a Spanish girl, right? She was at 30 or something. So she came to see me. She's got no fuck like a state, you know, and I can know. And she can speak English. She says, okay, this is what's happening today. You're getting an 8-month prison sentence, right? And I made a joke of this, right? But I did think this was a wee bit true, Sean, right? I made a joke of this and I went, right, okay, then I says, 8 months, no problem. I says, I'll be lying at the swimming pool. The prison officers will come over for sangria and my breakfasts. She went, swimming pool? I went, swimming pool? She went, who told, I said, there's swimming pools in Spain, isn't there? She went, who told you that? And know what she says? I says, what's in them? And she went, rats, maggots and faggots. Meaning the Algerians and all that. It was in the
rats, city. Maggots and faggots.
She says that now it's sort of about the Algerians going, oh, you get pumped in the neck and all that. So I went like that, Sean. I just kind of went, my whole thing went, oh, wait a minute. Is there any other way out of this? She went, have you any convictions? And see, before I can let her stop, do you know what I says, Sean? I says, does Big Ben tell the time? Old Bailey, Edinburgh High Court, Hamilton, Dumfries, this, that. And she went, no, because never let her finish. Have you any convictions in Spain? And I went, what's that good? And I went, no. She went, you're a first offender here. Did you know that? Do you know this is what happens in Spain and some other countries? Because I'll just come off the story just a wee tiny bit. There was a guy called, I'm sure his name was Archie McCafferty, and he came out from Australia, sure, and he was a Scottish guy, he got deported 20 years ago, right? On the papers and that. He got done with a couple of things, right? Do you guess what happened? See, in Scotland, he was treated as a first offender. He'd killed three guys. This is true.
Wow.
So Spain, that's what happened. So when I've rattled all that, Big Ben and all that, tells the time and all that, she went, no. She went, right, she says, okay then. I get you suspended sentence, 8 months. Maybe compensation you pay. I went, fucking right, I'll pay. So Sean, I thought I was going to treat it into a courtroom. It was a room with a big long desk. And I didn't, and she went, just keep your mouth shut, right? Just keep your mouth shut. You're getting out. You know what I mean? Oh, I got out all right. I got an 8-month prison sentence, suspended for 2 years, and they gave me, I was surprised, they only gave me €600 fine.
Wow.
I broke paperwork today, but it's in Spanish and all that, right? And it was in the paper about what happened anyway. And but that was one of the wildest nights of my life.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Some of the craziest stories I've ever heard.
So we had Kylie Minogue, the rave, and the boys at the thing, mate. And
we're going to do a clip, the craziest night.
So you're no called Wild Man for nothing.
I haven't got one to compare with that one, really.
No, but you must have a couple. I like the one about you. You done your wee triology, Wild Man in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The dogs followed you and all that.
Oh, I just feeding some steak and stuff. And then they'd turn around and, because every night time there, the dogs would come, but we'll go for you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'd have like four or five dogs and sort of fucking protect you. And they'd go for the stray dogs. And all you do is get a bit of steak.
I seen when I was younger as well, Sean. Seen when I was only about 19, right? There was three guys in the town. They were well known in Glasgow. The Three Johns, I call them. There was John Friel, John Lynn, John Cavana. John Cavana had a nightclub. What's the name of it? Club de France. And did you hear me talk about the Irishman earlier, where the guy came down to the door and he went, "I'm going to kill the Irishman"?
Yeah.
John Friel. He died a few years ago. So as Sean and John Lynn. He had a few businesses. He was a good friend of mine. So I was 19 and I kind of swing me on their shut tails. They get in all the nightclubs in Glasgow. And there was the nightclub, the Warehouse, the Mardi Gras, Ultratech. It was Panama Jacks, Henry Africa's, Videodrome, who a big guy I know very well had that. And it was just a big pub, you know, just TVs.
Are they all in the Gorbals?
But this is, most of them are for the Gorbals. John Freelnach for the Gorbals. Aye, this Videodrome, Colin Robertson had that. And, but then it was good. You know what I mean? We were like the Pied Piper, you know what I mean? Well, he was like pipe putting me off, fooling him in and all that. But the three guys done well. But John Lynn, who's a very good friend of mine, and I've not saw him for a wee while. John's good. John's about 60 odds. I met him in England. He was doing 17 years. He was down in Blackpool and allegedly shot somebody. You know what I mean? A UDA guy. And John ended up getting 17 years for it, so he did. And it's a kind of funny wee story, because I got to jail in 91, I think John was in from 88, so I was in full sitting at the time, and John done me a favour, a massive favour. I never had a TV for about 8 years, Sean, so I was an avid reader, and I've always been a kind of a good reader, you know what I mean? From yourself, you know what I mean? And Wild Man.
Gets you out of your cell, doesn't it?
You can float away. I would get into a book and see, the dispersal system was in for 9 years. All the guys were all kind of playing me funny stunts. So, Ian, here's a book, 1,000 pages. It's brilliant. And they knew I was the type of guy, Sean. See, when I read a book, right, I can't put it down after 50 or 100 pages and throw it away. I persist, because sometimes a good book, you don't get into it to 200, 300 pages.
My favourite author does 1,300, 1,400 pages. James Clavell did Shogun.
Right, aye.
That's one of my dad's favourite shows. Yeah.
But do you know what happened, Sean? These guys, a couple of times it happened to me, and the books were push. 1,100 pages, and I kept saying to my pals in Long Larton, when's this book going to get better and all that? So talk about John Lynn anyway. Get 17 years for the shooting in Blackpool, the UDA guy. So he was in HMP Franklin in 1994, and I was in Full Sutton. So I'd been in 3 years. Johnny was in about 6 or 7. So I used to get up to... I went up to Franklin for 6 weeks to be near Scotland, and... John was the pass man in the gym. Oh, he was good at that badminton. See the badminton and the soft tennis? He was 10 years older than me. He always beat me. So same as the other guy, Mickey Gillette, for Preston, that was telling you about. And but John, we know what we done. He got me a wee Casio TV, and it was only about 3 inches. Got a box of Alpen, right? Opened the Alpen up, put it in the Alpen, and sealed it. At that time, there was no X-rays, and you could buy food, so I put that in amongst tins of tomatoes, and so I took it down to Full Sutton, and I had this wee TV for 5 months. I was watching the match of the day, you know, and that, and a wee tiny, tiny TV. Years later, we were to get a TV 16 inches, 18 inches. Yeah. This was great. So in Full Sutton, as there was a There was a lockdown search. The folk that the IRA had Semtex in, right? I think it was a load of bollocks just to fucking ready search, right? So they picked out a few hundred prisoners. They picked out 50 for a special search. I was one of them. And see the TV. Mm. Right, do you know how I used to take it out at night? No, I used to... Do you know where I planked it? I never made a stash for it. Mm. It was... See, an ordinary search. They just come in, they'll search. You've got cornflakes, you're up in there, whatever. But see this day, because it was a special search, and you'd spices and all that in jars, so they were emptying them out, and I'm standing outside, I'm going, fuck, because I just had this open sitting on my cupboard. So they were coming in ordinary searches, not even finding it, because it was just an ordinary, it's open. But they were wide this day, they were thinking everything, emptying everything out. And I'm standing outside the cell and I'm going, fuck, it's nearly 2 weeks to Christmas. I'm going to miss the
TV.
I'm going to miss the TV. Because nobody had the TV, you could wire it to the light so you could. And I used to just let me put a blanket on my door so there was no shadows and you could see it. It was great, you know what I mean? So we TV. So this is what happened. I went, oh, fuck, they're going to empty it. That fucking open box, you know what I mean? And they emptied it out and they came out and they went, what's that? In? I says, that must be a free gift in with the thing with the cereal. No, you used to get wee free gifts. And the two officers, it was a woman and a man, they were howling. They went, tell the governor that. I went, oh, you know, they bother. But no, that was thing with talking about the free Johns for Glasgow. They were better men, know what I mean? And they were all gentlemen and all that. But there's another shooting I want to tell you about, Sean. I think we're going, fuck's sake, how's the fuck?
We love shooting.
I know. But see the funny thing, Sean? Well, touch wood. I've not been shot yet, right? It'll probably happen at some time, right? But
touch wood, it doesn't.
Make sure it doesn't happen to you, sir. So, I've got a chapter in the book called My Famous Alibi, right? So there was a wee guy, I'll call him Versace, right, in Glasgow, Jackie Ladd, fucking Porsche, Sion Eckies, all the fucking rest there. He get weighed, so he get done, right? So shouting about his brother and all that as well, you know what I mean? His brother's coming out and he's going to do this and do that. So his brother tried something, and I went to Rossi on the Monday. I went with my missus, kids, and my ma and my stepdad. And the next morning, stepdad's like, oh, so-and-so's been shown in the paper. That's thing with his brother, Versace's brother, isn't it? And I went, fucking good. I can't. But he'd been shot in the city centre, Sean, right in the city, in the Merchant City. He got shot right in the fucking stomach. It was an intensive care. You know what I mean? So this is where my famous alibi comes into it. So I came back for Rossi. I've no done it, right? Sean, I get charged with it. True story, right?
Usual suspect.
Right, so what happened was, it was about a year before I went away for the big sentence, 28, 29. So I came back for Rossi. I told the police were at my ma's door, and I had a boat house up in Bishop Briggs at the time, up in Spam Valley and Crow Roads, you know what I mean? And what happened was, I knew they were after us, right? So I phoned my solicitor, Joe Shields, who I had for years, and he says, right, and he says, I phoned the police down in Stewart Street. They want you to come down and see them. There's no arrest warrant out. I says, you sure? He says, I've seen it. So I says to the missus, I says, have the dinner ready for me. I've been doing it at 5 o'clock. See, as soon as I get down to that station, they fucking jumped on to it. I was walking in. I jumped on to me and you're under arrest for attempted murder. So I was in Berlinney just put me in Berlini, and I went, I know how it feels.
Fuck hell, you just go give you your side, won't you?
I know, I says to myself, I know what it feels to be like an innocent man, know what I mean?
Yeah.
My pal in the Barry had got 18 years and for a bank he never done, and he was in the riot in Berlini and all that. Ernie died last year, which was at his funeral. And he was a good guy, Ernie. But he got rough justice, go to him at it. So they did. They measured the guy, they had a photo still of a guy at the bank door taking a case, and they measured that Ernie was too big, the guy was too wee. So he got for the rough justice, compensation and that. He'd done a couple of years. So anyway, my famous alibi, I get arrested, charged, and I usually say a no comment, Sean, right? All the time, no comment. So I know I'm innocent, right? So we're sitting in Stewart Street and the CID, they said, we're going to do your taped interview. I hadn't even told my lawyer, Joe Shields, about my famous alibi, which I'm going to tell you in a minute. It's a famous person. You know what I mean? He's dead now, but he's really famous, right? And they were going to come to court for me, right? him and his wife. So I told you I'd been Rossi, so I'm back. So I agreed to get into the police station. George Jumpton says, taped interview, blah, 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 blah. They says, okay, then where were you, saying the Wednesday night at 8 o'clock? I says, Rossi. They all looked and went, well, aye. Who were you there with? I was there with my mother, son, my ma, stepdad. Are you sure you weren't in the Merchant City in Glasgow? I went, no, this is, it's quite easy for you to come back in the ferry. You know what I mean? And get back out again, whatever, all that shit. So I went, no, this is, so who was it? Your mother and all that? Any more witnesses? And this is where it came down. I says, aye. I says, Sir Richard Attenborough. David Attenborough's brother. Right? And do you know how this came about, Sean? No, I know how this came about. We weren't there in his house or nothing. Sean, do you know how this came about? We weren't there in his house or in a pub with him. My stepdad was a big film buff. So we didn't realise at the time, but we've put it in the book. We've done a bit of research. Richard Attenborough's got a huge estate in Rossie. So him and his, a huge estate, him and his wife were out working, walking the dogs. We were driving round the island, right? It's a wee island, Rossie. So we're driving round, and my stepfather, that's Sir Richard Attenborough, isn't it? So we stopped halfway down, and we get talking to him. Sean, see the time of the shooting? There was about a 10-15 minute gap for them. So there's no way you can get for Rossie to Glasgow in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes you about an hour and a half.
Wow.
So wait, you hear what happened in the interview room in the police station. Yeah. So they were like that, and this guy went like that with the pen. He says, are you taking the fucking cunt out of me? And I went, no. And my lawyer even took, because I didn't even throw my, because I just thought I was going up the road for my dinner again. Because he says, there's no warrant and I've no done it. And he went, for Sir Richard Attenborough. I mean, I've never heard so much garbage. I went, well, that's my witness. He asked, did I see anybody else? So
I bet they were fucking fuming.
Oh, they were gutted. See, when I said, but see the thing, wild man, I still get fucking remanded. They took me to court the next day. They went, he's talking shit. And they interviewed fucking my man, they interviewed Sir Richard Attenborough. He was going to go to court.
You interviewed him?
Aye. He was going to go to court and all that, so he was, Sean.
So he was on your side?
Aye, without a doubt. Yeah. So it never went to court. And but that's who my witness was going to be. But this guy was blasted, he was a serious condition, yeah. You know what I mean?
Bastards, aren't they?
And it was that little cunt Versace I mentioned earlier on. He got, his brother got shot, and he got fucking his brother's girlfriend and another lassie. They were in this flat to pick me out. He says, I was there. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking picked me out. He says, I was there and a couple other guys. So that was that. And after a week, maybe just 10 days, the police, they were satisfied. Mm. It wasn't me bad to spend 10 days in prison charged with attempting murder.
Mm.
You know what I mean? No, it was crazy.
So you said earlier there were some other attempts on your life. Is there any stories behind them?
Aye. Well, when I was in my 20s again, had trouble with other people, male rivals, right? And
What are these troubles just arising over, that's a different part of Glasgow, like you said earlier? That's what causes the trouble, or is it trouble over debts, drugs, women, whatever?
It was mostly debts and sometimes drugs as well, you know what I mean? And could be a variety of reasons. Or it could be, Sean, I used to be quite a nightclub guy all the time. I'm still a fucking bard for everyone in the city centre.
Yeah.
And you could be in a nightclub.
So you're fighting in the nightclub.
Something happens, it just, the thing me escalates and that, so it does. But, no, there was another time that two people jumped out with guns. So they did in the street. And they pulled guns up to me and they never fired them. Nearly did.
Did you know what that was over?
Aye, that was their trouble again, so it was. And they never fired them, and I was quite shocked, you know what I mean?
Was it just to scare you?
They had the guns pointed at me. But no, there was a pal with me. And there was two pals with me, in fact. And we didn't think they had guns. We never had guns on us that day. And they pulled the guns out, pointed the guns at us. And my other pal says, by the way, you fucking shoot him, you need to shoot the two of us. And we were shocked, they backed away. You know what I mean?
So the first time you ever got a gun pointed at you, how was that feeling?
That was scary.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kid on, Sean. It was scary because if a gun gets pointed at you, you're 99% chance of dying.
Yeah.
No, as a scary thing. So it is. You know what I mean?
But as it happened more and more times,
I didn't give a fuck.
You started not to give a fuck?
No, I didn't give a fuck. And people used to say to me at a young age as well, before I went to prison at 30, Sean, they used to say to us, are you no scared and all that? There's people came to my door and all that a few times. You know what I mean? They says, are you no scared that you're lying in your bed and you should be... I says, this is a way of life in me now. You know what I mean? And people were kind of amazed what my reaction was. Because most people just fucking... I know a lot of people that's moved the country and all that, they've been threatened. But I've never been one for running away. Neither have.
Yeah. And we recently posted a video of the police smashing up where you live now.
There he's going, Police Scotland. Just caught them, get out the close there. They weren't there to give me a Christmas present. I thought there was the Santa at the door. What do you see standing at my door? You see this? Do you know? Huh? Half the door. There's a little bit. You leave your house for an hour and you come back and you've got half the door. Well, wait a minute. I come from Black Hill, I'm too neat now. I remember a family from Black Hill. They used to bring a horse up to their house. And lots of people know this. And they had the door sawed in half. Like the toilet door. Look at this, look. You know, look at them. And now, thing. What? So he just walked into my house there. See if I found my Charlie. Fuck. Could have been better. I can edit. I got 3 grand last time, what did you get this time? Did he think I'm a horse? Look at that. I hope I do.
and laughing now.
I just went in my stash and never get the Charlie. Thank fuck for that. They go to the last thing when they get to it. Fucking hell.
What's this all about? I've not even done fuck all. Three motors were doing there. Two of them's drove away. I wish I would have videoed it earlier. But it says, sorry, Mr. McDonald, we're concerned for your welfare. And it says, when the fuck have you ever been concerned for my welfare? Know what I mean? It's usually the part of my country going, what do you want for your breakfast in the morning? Another good barn? Fuck! Look at this!
By the way, contrary to belief, I've got a few covered a shop at John Lewis. Experienced.
No wonder you're laughing then. What's happening? She acts as if anything. She acts as if I laugh. You know what I mean?
Fucking hell. Old bells. Can't believe this. Oh well, I suppose we'll film James English about this. Fucking. Oh my god.
And that's me going straight. Straight.
Fuck.
Had to put through a chainsaw.
Am I a fucking international drug bang or something?
Know what I mean?
Merry Christmas, please, Scotland. Thank you very much, you bunch of bastards.
Right, well, again, that's something you'll have to tell us,
drop them behind the door. No, well, wait a minute. You've no legal requirement to do this to me, by the way.
Unfortunately,
but
we do.
Well, see if you do, hell menges.
Right, go and come back to the door so we can speak to you about this.
Hell menges, by the way. Because
right, well,
I'm ready to fucking die. Ready.
Right,
well, do you know what? I've had fucking enough of yous up to here.
Well,
early years.
Listen to me.
I'm not listening.
Right, well,
put the fucking door in. Come on, big boys.
We need to speak to you.
No, speak to me at the door.
Well, no, we need to take you to the office.
I fucking say here and that's it.
What's your name, pal?
What do you mean, what's my name?
Oh, I don't know, you may have just
dubbed
up.
Here, my name's Ian McDonald, right? I'm no fucking getting my door... Put the fucking door in.
What,
mate.
Put your door in.
Where do you fucking go? You stay every week.
Right, well, why don't you just open it?
For what?
Across the door.
Here, mate. This door's only been glued apart. I've got a new door.
Right, man, why can't you deal with us as a gentleman?
No, because yous are no gentlemen and I'm no a gentleman. Right. Yous have been after my fucking ass for years.
Maybe we just go to the office. We speak to it.
Speak to me, what?
You'll be
here
soon enough.
Aye, so I will. Fuck's sake. She's trying to see one load of shite, man down all that. Mate, I fucking threw her gear out, that was it.
What's that?
It's my, I threw her gear out, it's my house.
Well,
I never assaulted her.
Unfortunately, we've got to speak to you.
Mate, I never assaulted her.
Well, I'm saying that's an allegation. That's
aye, the allegation's one load of shite.
Well, we're not saying you're guilty of it,
we need to... You're guilty of it, for fuck's
sake.
Here. You know what you did? Just put the fucking door in and that's it. You're used to doing that, know what I mean?
We can't just
Just put the fucking door in. And all that shite last week, he's were worried about my welfare. It was a fucking prescription. I was doing it at George Square, you know what I mean? I was doing it at George Square fucking last week. We heard in the way. Then you come up with your doors in for a prescription that Boots gave you ring.
Obviously, I was there, so I can't...
No, we know that. Right. Fuck's sake, there's hundreds of yous.
Keep it
right.
All the allegation is it's domestic assault.
Right, man, domestic assault, my fucking arse.
Well, give me a chance to speak to you.
After I saw her fucking down, because she does this. Mate, I was going to go to the council and tell the woman, look, going to get her out of this house.
So why don't we just go down
there? Fuck's sake.
I'll give you a chance to speak to a lawyer. You told us about
the what?
You get cautioned in charge.
Yes.
Remember?
Aye, aye.
That's the guy.
Right.
Do you remember that one?
Aye, aye.
At Aberdeen.
Eh? I wasn't up in Aberdeen.
Ended up in Aberdeen. I was the guy that spoke to you outside.
Who ended up in Aberdeen?
What's that?
Who ended up in Aberdeen?
No, you ended up in Aberdeen. You basically talked about how you would have a sea view and all that.
Oh, aye, right.
Remember
I was
speaking to you?
Right, aye, okay, right. So what's the week he's already in congregating outside early now? He said, put my fucking door in last week for a prescription. Now you're up here because I fucking had an argument and she's phoning Police Scotland. I'm not having it, mate. I'm not just a bit of recreation to be fucking booted about like a cricket ball.
Listen, what is it?
What's happened is fuck all. She's just a fucking drama queen.
Who?
You fucking know who.
Unlock the door and then step back
from it. No, what the fuck?
Just step back from
it. What the fuck? Just crash it as you usually do. Fuck's sake, I'm used to it. I'm just crash it in what you usually do. Eh? You just put it in again. Just put it in all the fucking time. You're up last year for a fucking gun and all that, you know? Last week for a prescription. I know you're all out there with shields and what about it? Fuck's sake. Yeah, you have the illegal requirement to come in, man. Don't put it in. Have you got a warrant? But you can't put my fucking door in.
Make sure you're all right.
I'm all right, mate.
Right, well, it's been a disturbance, pal.
Right, mate, I'm all right.
Right, well, look, you know better, just open the door and deal with this
problem. No, because I know what you're going to do. Well, handcuffs as usual.
Aye, you will need to put handcuffs.
Aye, I know you fucking will, and for what?
Right, so, can I... it's a bit easier to accuse you to book here.
What do you mean it's a bit easier? How's that a bit easier?
Well, because that means you don't need to come in.
No, but you've no legal requirement to come in.
Well, we do, pal, we do.
How's that?
You've got me more bills.
Eh?
What's that?
How's that? I've no done fuck all.
Right, well, there's an allegation
you've
made. What happened was,
I went to Boots the Chemist.
Yeah.
In Buchanan Galleries, it's just across from where I stay right in the edge of City Centre.
Mm.
But who gives a guy a house in the edge of City Centre where he's barred from nearly every pub and club? You know what I mean? And what happened was I collected the prescription. The guy asked me my name, my address, postcode, and I got over to the flat. I realised it was a wrong name, wrong address, and so I phoned him. It was just before Christmas, Sean. It was about a week before Christmas or something. No, 3 weeks before Christmas. And the Christmas lights at George Square, and I was going to go for a meal and that, the kid and that, my girlfriend. And I phoned Boots. I was rushing for time, and I says, listen, you've gave me somebody else's prescription. Oh, can you bring it over? I went, no. I says, I'm in a rush. And he went, I says, I'll just bring it in the morning. So I just put the phone in, you know what I mean? And I actually switched the phone off. And he said, I didn't know what bothered. I went, no, it's the only thing, mate. So what happened was, about 8:30 at night, Sean, we came up to my close.
There was six coppers coming out of the close, and they went, "Are you Ian McDonald? Are you okay?" They put it down as a concern, a welfare. Boots get in touch with the police, right? And they says to them, "We think that guy might take that prescription. See if I would have took the prescription, Sean." They're lying, because see if I'd have took the prescription. Wait, I tell you, I googled that, what the prescription was. It was for colitis. I'd have shit myself. Colitis is for a bowel problem.
And you were helping them, telling
and I,
them.
Aye. And I'm not being cheeky to people with colitis, but fucking all that would have done was fucking run thing me through me. Mm. It wouldn't have killed me. But Sean, see the way they done the door, right? See the joiner that came that night. The joiner was, he's been 20 years service with the Glasgow Housing Association. He says he's not saw a door like that going in before. Mm. They split it right in the middle. It was half a door. I says, "Am I a horse or something?" A door. I was like, "For fuck's sake!" Right, I meant to take a photo before I came down.
Mm.
Right, see when the joiner, see when the police went away and all that. Right, I just videoed them just as they were going away. That clip I'd sent and that, and but see when the joiner came later that night, he, I thought he was going to give me a new door. He went like that. He just put the door back together again. And he put a plywood at one side and a plywood at the other side. And I've no letterbox. I've no door handle. It's still that. Still, the door's still that. But Sean, see, to tell you the truth, I'm getting a bit sick here. I've been in this flat 3 years. The police have been up and down to my fucking door about six times.
What did they say, why they were coming?
They've come up for a gun.
For a gun?
They've come up for a gun, remember? I don't know if I told you the last time. The first date I had with Ashley, the first date, that would put any lassie off. We were in a fancy cocktail bar in George Square. Mm. I'd come out the next minute, my hands are up. I'm police, have you got a gun? I says, if I did, it would be firing blanks now. So they took me up in my house, which I thought was highly unusual, and they searched the house and all that, and just, fuck all. They got a bit of Charlie.
How did that go on the first date?
Well,
did you get a second date?
Do you know what a few people says? He says, "Is she still with me?" We'd have says, "Run." She's still with me. You know what I mean? But that was her first date. That was us. I'd met her before, but this was us going out for the first date and the first drink.
It's where you make a good impression, isn't it?
But, Sean, see, to tell you the truth, see, over the years, I've had a lot of thing with trouble for the police. You know what I mean?
That's harassment, pure.
They've gave me fucking a lot of trouble, you know what I mean? And can I tell you this?
Please do.
And this is going to thing me. It might get me in trouble, but I don't care. Sean, this is a true story. See, last year, I get sick and I've got a clip in there. I can show you at the end to justify this. Right. Did you hear about a guy up in Glasgow, the gerbil? He got shot in the car park.
The gerbil?
He got shot in the car park.
No.
So there was this copper in Glasgow. His name was Stephen House. Right? So he done all his reforms. He came, right, first of all, he came for the Metropolitan Police, right? And I think he was in the kidnap squad and all that. It was a good day down there, right? So he got the chief constable job up in Glasgow and he done all these reforms, want to do this and do this, get desk-bound duty officers out on the beat. He done a few good things and all that, right? I'm not saying he never done bad, but he fucked up. He fucked up, right? There was a scandal, a call centre scandal, and there was this lassie called Lamara Bell and her boyfriend. They crashed up near Stirling and they weren't found for 3 days. Yeah. But the call centre had a call for it. So this Stephen House came in for a lot of criticism for it, and he came in for a lot of other criticism. And so he was a plain Stephen House, right? A Steph. Up in Scotland, right? They changed. It's Police Scotland now, right? Sean, it used to be. I think there was six or five different places. Like say, Lothian and Borders, Central Police, Strathclyde Police, Dumfries and Galloway, Grampian, right, to name a few. But him and the Nats, meaning SNP, Nicola Sturgeon, etc. Do you know what they've done? They think they were doing a cost-cutting exercise. See all these, think my regional police, what I mentioned, Grampian, Strathclyde, and all
put
that.
Them all into one.
They put them all into one. But see the thing about that, right? That's been a failure.
Yeah.
Right, because you know what happens now, Wild Man? Right, say there's a murder in Glasgow. They send two cops in for Aberdeen.
Who haven't got,
it's not got a clue,
clue
about the area and logistics. And no. So and they can set, they send them all different. So they're not for the area. And so anyway, getting back to me, right? That this is a story. It'll be funny about it at the end there, but I think he would see this, right? And I sent him an email, by the way. Right, guess what happened? It says in a newspaper article, I've got it in there, I'll show you, right? The Gerbo was killed, and he had a photo of me, and he went, the next one that'll be getting found in a car park is Ian McDonald, right?
Can't,
so I took offence to this, right? I'm staying out of trouble.
So whose words were they?
Stephen House.
Right.
He's done the News of the World before it folded. This was 2009, Sean. I'll show you it when I can. You can even put it up. So Stephen House, you can look him up. Guess what he done? He's landed on his feet. He's caused all the mergers with the Nats. This Lamara Bell scandal. So if Lamara Bell's dad's listening to this and watching, he'll be glad that I brought this up, because his daughter lay in a car for 3 days, dead.
Oh, dear.
A liberty, you know what I mean? The other guy, I don't know his name, he's dead, I know. They're not too happy about it. No wonder, because he could have been found after 6 hours, 7 hours, but they fucked up. So that was on Stephen House's patch, and there are a few other things happened, and plus these mergers. So this is what I've done. No, it says in this News of the World article, the next one, I think, is Jack the Lad and all that, and I'm out of trouble, is Blink on TV programmes. It says he'll end up, he'll be the next one ending up in the car park. Guess what I've done? No, Jenna, this is true. I've got the bit of paper in there that I wrote. Did you find this funny? I don't think he did. That's that, right? I wrote something up. Right, I'm good at writing like you is, right? And I've got good contacts, right? So I asked for his email address. Sean, guess where he went to? Sean, Scotland. They gave him a sir. They gave him a sir for fucking up, right? So he's Sir Stephen Fingley House, right? They gave him a sir and they get rid of him. Guess where he crawled back to? The Met. Right, I saw him on the TV the other week. He's the assistant chief constable.
KL.
He's in the Met, right? He's about my age. He's crawled back in with his pals, right? Because see that half the police in Scotland? Half the police in Scotland didn't like him anyway. You know what I mean? So he got the boot for Scotland and he's crawled back into the Met with his pals. And
so he's been promoted for fucking up, basically.
Yeah, and his finger, and he's right high up. Right, see that gun thing about the first date with Ashley? Right, I wrote my email, right? I got his email address, got it, and I sent it to the Met. And I says to him, Sir Stephen, I says, Steph, I says, you were only a plain Steph in Glasgow. I says, you fucked up with this Lamara Bell, you fucked up with all these fucking regional forces, orbit disbanded. Blah, 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 blah. I says, you says that I was going to be dead, thing me, 5 years in the car park. And I made a joke, right? I made a joke of this. And I says, okay, then. I says, this is how I'm going to die, Steph. I says, I'm not going to die now. I'm not going to die in Asda car park. I says, I'm going to die in Aldi. Right? I says, and I'm going to tell you who's going to kill me. Paddy McGuinness,
to take me out in 10 skinny blondes and he'll shoot me right up. So he got so he, I made it in front of here. He got this right. You know, Pandy McGrath said, does that take me out program with the girls? And I says, 10 skinny blondes are going to shoot me up, right? So I sent that email to him, right? And his answer was, he sent for the pals, he's go up, right? Still up in Scotland. He must have some, he's not got many. He's got them a warrant for a gun to find me. So that was his answer. So it was. And he's a top brass. You'll be able to get his photo in it. The Met. So, and do you know, I like to say while we're talking about the Met, Sean, I like your programmes, right? I like John Wedger. I think he's a good guy. I like Maggie Oliver, right? They're fighting for all these paedophiles. And I think it's a bad day. John Wedger, he comes across as a good guy, right? And he had to look after his kids and all that. And he's been on you a couple of times. I like watching that guy. That guy is a liberty. There's just people trying to kill him, but he's trying to expose things and they're putting it back under. He was going to his superiors and saying to them, by the way, this is child abuse, and it's rampant. Maggie Oliver, she's a good story to tell as well. And there's another, Sonia
Poulton.
Anna Breeze. She's good.
All those are in the True Crime podcast, if you want to check on them. In the description box, the link is down there.
No, they're all good, Sean.
Yeah.
And I've watched them and see the things that come out, you go, wow. You know what I mean? And
It's sad that the police have gone from helping people. I'm not saying all of them. I think we do need the police.
No, you need need the police. I would agree with you.
To covering things up and...
What the fuck do we need?
Arresting low-level...
It would be lawless. Everybody would just shoot everybody and all that.
Arresting low-level drug users to fill private prisons is the main problem I've got with... Especially the police in America did that. Almost 1 million arrests a year for weed possession. And then in this country,
I remember you saying America. They say it's an industry.
Oh yeah,
the free strikes out for hash. Yeah, they're getting fortunes.
I'm a member of law enforcement against prohibition, which are good police,
right?
And they say we didn't sign up to arrest college kids for smoking weed. This is bullshit. You know, we wanted to arrest the paedophiles, murderers, rapists. But they're telling us in this country they don't have the resources to go after these political paedophiles.
Well, they could stop fucking
it's
kids.
All covered up, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for the guy, John.
John Wedger.
He's come out and he's exposed and they weren't believing him. And his bosses were just going like that and he was finding things out and they were just going, just leave it. You've got a lot of good guests on recently. I enjoy that.
Well, in the beginning, because people helped me when I got out of prison, I wanted to help other people share their prison stories. So it was all people who'd been in prison. But then it kind of like just all of a sudden it just started branching out. And a lot of it's
and you've
thanks
done
to
well
the viewers.
As well with your books. You've donated 5,000 books for your own. That's for your own money.
We're at 25,000 book donations now.
Oh, 25,000.
Yeah, to kids and states, girls.
I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you're in prison. People like to read books and that, know what I mean? And you've not got a good choice.
Yeah.
Wild man.
All these fantastic guests, Ian, have been suggested by the viewers. And a huge thank you to the viewers because you guys keep putting these people forward or messaging them and saying, why don't you go on Sean Atwood's podcast?
Yeah.
And it makes us easy then to hook it all up. And we've had...
I think you're going to build up to True Geordie status.
That'd be nice.
I think your subs are going up. And do you know every time I turn on my phone and my wee, that is always Sean Otwood's thing.
It's good YouTube's promoting it.
They're promoting you all the time, so there.
Well, we got a shout out from Joe Rogan podcast recently and that bumped
Eddie
Bravo.
Right, who is he?
He is a world champion martial arts guy.
I saw a lot of things getting in saying that's good for Sean and all that. Did he mention you, didn't he?
Five times he mentioned the Epstein stuff.
Millions, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Joe Rogan, I think he's got like 6 or 7 million subs on YouTube.
Could he not come out here and interview you, Sean?
If Joe Rogan was in London, we could go in a studio and do it properly. He did interview Snowden, and Snowden's in Russia, isn't he?
Right. I mean, a guy came here from America to see you, tell me, right, Patrick, what's his name, Value Entertainment?
Yeah, yeah.
He came over and he did Dave Courtney as well, didn't
Patrick
he?
Was coming to London. I hooked him up with Dave Courtney.
I watched
Courtney.
That one.
Patrick's a great guy.
Aye.
And next time he comes out, I think he might do David Icke. I'm going to discuss that with him.
You've done a good one with him.
Did two with David Icke so far. Yeah.
See, David Icke, right? Remember everybody used to say that David Icke's loony and all that. David Icke talks a lot of sense.
Well, what the thing is, a lot of things he predicted have come true. And he was one of the first to call out Jimmy Savile and everybody laughed.
And did you know I call him a fruitcake and all that and going, oh, blah, 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 blah?
Yeah.
But Jimmy Savile, fucking hell.
Wellman really loves the Epstein stuff the most.
No, see the Epstein stuff, Sean, I've got to take my hat after you. You've done over 100 and you keep plugging away, you keep plugging away.
It's mental.
Yeah.
So you do. And you must be really busy all that research. Your days must be full.
I've done enough Epstein videos now to fill two books.
I know.
So I'm going to do Who Killed Epstein.
I'm going to read you...
Of Prince Andrew on the cover.
Do you know what book I'm interested in reading, Sean, you brought up Prince Andrew? Do you know what book I'm interested in? Your Clinton book.
Oh, at Christmas there was a book released, Clinton, Bush and CIA Conspiracies, subtitle... From the boys on the tracks of Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah. Available worldwide on Amazon. Link is in the description box.
And I must say as well, I really enjoyed, I've told Sean this before, I gave you a wee thing, I really enjoyed The Two Tonys.
Yeah.
That was a fast-paced book and real. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could live in the mind of the guy.
That's my next book I'm going to read. I'm never going to read an Epstein book.
Blake's trip 7 years ago.
Wellman thinks the Royal Security people are going to put me in a car one day and I'll be seen again.
I love the Queen.
No, the Two Tonys book, I really enjoyed that.
My Two Tonys book's called The Mafia Philosopher Two Tonys, available
see,
on
See, when that ended, I was gutted.
Yeah,
I was gutted. Yeah. So it was
sad. It was. And like, I watched the chain link fence.
I watched the other day. You says we're talking about Epstein, but you says Two Tonys done a grip on you.
Yeah,
he done a grip in the American cell.
In one of the Epstein videos I did, we showed the pictures of the 60 Minutes from Epstein's cell. They got some unreleased pictures, and they've got these electrical cords in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And when I asked Two Tonys, "What's the quickest way?" I'm sorry, how would you kill someone if someone came into your cell? I thought he would describe it.
Yeah.
But he jumped up with the electric cord, put it around my neck, and just choked me out real quick.
I know you were saying that, but I've watched that, amazed, know what I mean?
What about the video, the Christmas video we did with Wellman and Chet?
Do you know I was sitting watch? Yous were steaming.
I know, yeah.
Yous were steaming. I drank you. Did you ever drink, no?
I was moderating, let's say.
No, I've never met Chet, but I've watched him in a... He's run you three times.
He speaks very highly of you, and he's watched all your videos.
Aye.
Chet actually said he would like you and Wellman, all of us, to have a video just having a chat.
That would be good. Because we could just add different reasons.
We'll get drunk and just fucking put the world to rights.
How stay down here again? Yeah. I mean, or whatever.
Yeah.
I enjoy coming down here.
Yeah, yeah. We love having you down here.
Yeah. Yeah. You've always sorted me out with good details. And
no problem.
Different things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I was the first Scottish guy to get in touch with you.
You was. And then the accents became a bit harder. Johnny Boy. Yeah.
Right,
amazing.
Right, listen,
stories. Escape from that. Right, so many prisons.
Right, I can understand you perfectly.
I know. Because you know what I do, Wild Man, right? See, when I went to England in 1991, I was in 9.5 years. See, us Scots, we
you slowed
accents,
it down.
I slowed it right down.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, my pal, I had to interpretate for him. So I was sounding like a snobby guy in Glasgow. For the first 2 years, all the Londoners and that down in England, you used to just go, So I slowed right down.
Yeah.
And when I went back to Glasgow, I still had that wee bit, and people go, you talk about your snob. But everybody understood me.
In Accrington, I used to get Temmies.
Aye, the Temmies, aye.
A couple of Gladstone Gobbles. Aye. Like talking
Temmies was a big thing in Glasgow in the 80s.
They have like number twos and fours on them, you know what I mean?
It's Subotech, they're all running about in Berlin now and all that.
Brilliant, brilliant.
They're going to knock down Berlin, did you know that? No, I don't know if they're going to knock it down. They're building a new Berlin.
So that's the one Johnny Boyce escaped from multiple times. He not only escaped, he also got his brother out and put his brother back in after they'd been on the run and stuff.
Stories are
amazing. If you want to watch the Johnny Boyce Steel podcast, they're in the description box below the video. True crime
and
podcast.
And I'll think which double that. Well, Johnny Boyce, I would say that was the best escape for Berlin. There's been a few
escape stories.
Aye.
When I got to America, coming from Widnes, I had a very broad northern accent and they couldn't understand me.
Yeah.
So like you said, you slowed yours down.
I slowed it really down.
Because I was working on the phones, telesales basically. Mm-hmm. I had to start speaking like I speak today.
Right.
So some people call me posh as well because they hear me speaking like this and not speaking like the hometown accent that people can't understand.
Because when I get released, I started saying I'm I again and. But I had to slow right down, and they understood me perfectly. So
if people could hear my original accent before I went to America, they'd call Wildman the posh one, I think.
Yeah,
I've never been posh in my fucking life. Or call
since
posh.
Since the last time I saw you as well, Sean. Do you remember you done the guy he escaped for the prison van? Franklin's three guys jumped out. And you put a photo of him, and I was talking about Michael Howard added 10 years to his sentence.
Yeah.
Alan
Byrne.
Not the Manchester lad.
You've not done a podcast I was speaking about him.
Oh.
And you put a photo up of him.
Okay.
And he ended up, he was on the run for about 12 years. And at the time, I wasn't allowed to visit him. The police came to see me, right? Can I put in to see him? So they says to me, this is, and how did you meet him? And I says, I couldn't turn around and say, well, I turned around and says to them, well, I didn't meet him in Sainsbury's in fucking Birmingham. I says, I met him in Full Sutton and Long Larton. We had some good parties. And do you know what they done? Well, knocked me back.
Bastards.
But I've got in to see him. It's put the guys get a. He's got Parkinson's.
Mm.
68, you know what
terrible.
I mean? Michael Howard gave him 10 years unjustly.
Yeah.
He says, your sentence isn't big enough. Alan was willing to go to 54, then 20 years, and he just got a letter. You're doing an extra 10 years?
Well, that's fucked up.
You don't have magistrates in Scotland, do you? You have the sheriffs, don't you?
Aye, we've got district... We've got magistrates and people in the district court, and we've got the magistrates, sheriffs, then judges.
Judges,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
a
sheriff could give you 5 years. A sheriff could give you 5 years, and then the judge, the district court, get up to about 12 months or something in there.
What a prop does?
A procurator fiscal.
Yeah.
A procurator fiscal is a QC doing your... against you.
Got
you.
Call got you. Again? Like a prosecution.
Aye, prosecution.
Yeah.
So they're prosecuted, but down here...
What high up ones?
You get the high up ones in in the High Court in Glasgow and High Court everywhere in Scotland.
Yeah.
You get the QCs. They're a QC prosecutor.
Like barristers over there.
Just look down here.
When your crime gets serious, they go up a bit.
Well, see when we had our trial at Bristol, first time we tried to escape
and all that.
We actually two QCs against us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we went to the Bailey, and Sir Lawrence Verney says to the Sixers, he says, I'm not having any more. We try to get a gun smuggled in.
Must have been scary at the old place.
Oh, yeah. Winter.
They tried to get a gun smuggled
in. Aye. Shit was
the
to get off.
They moved it to a different jurisdiction.
They moved it to... We were down in Bristol. And, Torquay, they took us to Bristol Crown Court. And we found a gap.
Yeah.
In the security to get this gun. And what we were just going to do is we were just going to get the gun.
Get out.
We were going to batter all the fucking screws before we went. But we weren't going to ask anybody for Glasgow to come down with cars. We were just going to go a free for all.
Yeah.
And you just got off, but that, we were six categories.
And could, go your own
could
way.
Could you imagine Manhunt for that?
I know.
But I'm glad, Wild Man, we never done it. Yeah. Because we'd have got another 10 year.
You'd have got lifed up. On.
So, no, it wouldn't have been worth it. But at the time, we were all. And me and Mick Keeley used to walk round Bristol Nick and looking for fucking gaps. Because Mick escaped for Shots Prison. He was the only person moving a butcher's van, top security van. You hear a lot of people showing in the papers, oh, somebody's escaped from prison. But they've no escape from prison. They've just come out of an open prison or something.
Yeah.
But it's still doing his escape. But Mick actually went in the butcher's van and he escaped.
A lot of the pigs in England, when they escape, all they've actually done is they've been taking them to the hospital.
Since our last,
and then they've gone from the hospital.
Aye, they go through hospital. Yeah. But since I last spoke to you, Michael Healy died, unfortunately.
Oh.
If you want to watch, because the first podcast we did with Ian was $6 million bank robbery. It went wrong, obviously. Mm. If you want to watch that whole story, that link is at the top of the description box below the video. Can you just update us then, Ian, on all the guys that were in that botched robbery with you? What ended up happening to them?
Well, unfortunately, Michael Carroll, he died as well. He died about, I brought the book out 7 years ago and I'd done a wee dedication at the front yet. Michael had serious kidney problems and he died. Michael Healy died in a...
What was Michael Healy's death?
He was just found in a house. They don't know what it was related to, you know what I mean?
Not suspicious.
No, it wasn't suspicious. He was 57, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was at his funeral, so I was. And Michael was a good guy. And his brother was done with. His brother James, he's out. He's been doing well. And the other two blokes, Rab Harper, he actually, see when he finished, he got 17 years at Norwich. And they get 16 years at the Bailey concurrent because they'd went and done mayor robberies in Norwich. See, when they left us at Torquay, they went to Norwich and went through a gun shop, reversed through it, and they got magnums and thing me. No Magnum ice cream, Magnums. Magnum guns. Yeah. And they buried them under a farm, but they'd done three banks. But then Robert Harper got another 18 years. So that was 17, 18 concurrent. And he was only 2 years and he got 18 years, the poor cunt. So he's been out about a year and he's doing well. But I'll tell you who's doing really well. And you should maybe get him on your podcast. He'd be really good. A guy called Thomas Carrigan. He works in Tottenham just now. He works for a charity.
He was in Tottenham?
Wife. Yeah. And he'd see all the knife crime and all that. He's run about it. And Tam would have a good story to tell. He's been to Iraq and the danger zones as a photographer. This was all the way before there, and Tam's the one that get the 17 years at Norwich for the farm with the guns and the banks there and the bank at Torquay. And he's done a lot of good for people. He's married now with four kids.
Yeah, he just comes to Guildford quite easily from Tottenham.
He's Tottenham, so yes.
Yeah.
The hand in knives, isn't that apparently?
He's got a big Mars bar as well.
Does he?
He get that 16, you know what I mean?
Wow.
But, Tam's got his act together and he's working and all that now. And he would be really good. He was on David Wilson's crime files just the other week.
Really?
You look, he didn't lose your eye.
He knows David Crane. Eh? I know. Well, do you know what happened? I've got a. What do you call it? See below my eye, I've got nerve damage.
Yeah.
I had to go in for another operation 2 years later and lift the eye up.
Got you.
Broke my ear as well. But that day that happened, I was just happy in my neck. I was just taunting him, sort of, you know what I mean?
You were fighting for your life, but fucking
hell. Sean, tell you the truth, I didn't expect to see 50. And I'm 58, you know what I mean?
Congratulations, man.
And you look well, too.
Do look really well through it all.
Well, I dye my hair, but so does Simon Cowell and John Barrowman, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
At least you've got her.
But,
sun sand,
if it makes
well
you
dressed.
Feel better than yourself, that's it, isn't it?
Let me ask you this, then. So you went on the podcast the first time. It's been one of the most viewed podcasts on the channel.
We don't know about it.
What has the effect of coming on the podcast had on you? Like, do you read the comments and stuff?
Or
do
oh,
you,
I read the comments.
Do people message you and things?
No. I'm not on social media or anything at all. I'm not on Twitter. I'm no thing me.
Yeah.
And I've saw you for the answer some. But I don't answer because I think people just be abuse. I don't go on social media. But what I've found out since I've been on the podcast and that... A lot of people stop me in the street now.
Do they?
Aye, a lot of street for James English as well.
Yeah.
The podcasts are popular, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a podcast was 2 years ago. But see now, no, a lot of people stop me. Oh, I saw your podcast, it was great. No,
I'll put the link to you, James English, below.
Yeah. I think they like the true crime.
Yeah.
We get that, crime, though, we don't know. If Sean picks me up and he's taking me down London.
Well, look at all the people that loves the wild man.
I know.
Isn't it?
He's got a huge following.
He has a huge following.
Yeah.
Because I read the comments.
Yeah.
And everybody's always like, oh, I love the wild man.
Majority of people, they've got some trolls, like, but I don't give a fuck about the trolls.
Aye. And I see that you comment, you go, well, fuck off, you can't.
Yeah.
Because see if it was me. And like, say, I've no on Twitter or that. See if I was drunk or something, Sean. And somebody says, "Oh, but I would go and meet them and all that." And
got him, I was looking for the IP addresses.
Oh, were you wanting to go and kill Killens?
Yeah, I wanted to kill the Killens. And it's only when I was talking to the two Geordies, they said, "Look, it'd be about 15, 16-year-old lads on the computer just being keyboard warriors." They said, "It's good to have trolls because it makes you, if you haven't got a few trolls, it's like
you've got to have trolls somewhere, ain't you?
The good luck, they make things go viral.
Aye,
it increases the activity. People start arguing with them then.
No, but a lot of people in Glasgow
don't know troll this man. They'll come and get you.
Yeah. And they all say to me, "Oh, the guy showing that rude, and that's good."
Yeah,
wild man.
Well, James English is doing tremendous work, and he's hooked us up with a lot of good guests.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch the James English podcast, please subscribe to him also.
You done then, James English?
Yeah, he interviewed me when I was up there. I did a TED Talk. Last year, and TED hasn't even put it online. I've asked them to send it to me, because it's my third one, so I can put it on my channel.
Well, do you know what
it was about? Two Tonys.
Well, do you know, Two Tonys, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But do you know what I noticed you'd done? And I don't think you've done a big podcast. You got about 2 million views. Unilad.
Oh, the Unilad one I did, yeah.
You got a lot of views.
It's like
for
a short documentary, isn't it? A short interview.
You got an awful lot of...
I think it has got over 2 million. But the first TED Talk's got about 1.5 million as well.
Aye.
Yeah.
You've done well.
So all that's helped really the channel grow and with Wild Man and all these other people just like putting out these great stories.
I
really appreciate everything everyone's doing.
The best stick is the crime, though. Get away from that Epstein shit.
Crime is a good one. If you've retired, it's fine because you just don't know when the coppers. See, if you're up to crime and all that as well, the police are not stupid.
Yeah.
You're lying in your bed and you just say, thing me. I used to be very materialistic and that, so I did. A pound coin, just. Used to buy all the best of gear and go holidays. I do miss it at times, but I would rather have my freedom, Sean.
Yeah, I'm
saying it, I don't, as long as I've got enough to live, innit?
Yeah,
I don't fucking...
That's it.
Like...
See, if you're happy, and I like watching Netflix and things like that as well.
I've been out since 2009 now.
Because I used to go out all the time.
And I've never been arrested.
How long have you been out since?
2009.
2009?
Never been arrested. Yeah. No trouble whatsoever. The worst I've had was no seatbelt. I got a fine for £60.
Right.
It's not bad, like, considering it was getting nicked every fucking week, you know what I mean?
Have you ever thought about speaking to school kids or anything?
Well, I think, because I'm still getting a lot of help, thing with fake coppers and things like
school's
that.
Schools probably won't let you in, will they?
I think I'd be a bit epicer today, and I get done with possession of cocaine 2 years ago and things like that.
But you're inactive now, aren't you? You should let you in.
I'm not doing nothing at all.
Yeah.
But do you know, Sean, if I was speaking to school kids, I couldn't... I know you're supposed to get in and say the right things. I think I couldn't really... Because I think I'd need to get in and say, look, he's day a life of crime. I says, you'll need to do the time, you know what I mean? I'll say it is good at the time, but when it all crashes down,
yeah,
it's
it's no good. But I would say to them, I wouldn't say to them, good luck, get away with it, because if they don't get away with it, they have got to suffer the consequences. And see, these days, when I was in prison and all that, you didn't have computers and a shower in your cell. But see, still the same, Sean. Do you know when your time starts in prison? 9 o'clock at night when that door shuts. It doesn't matter if you've got a phone, a computer, a shower. Say you're married. I've been in prison in England loads of times, and it's sent people crazy. What's my wife up to? And family, it destroys people, you know what I mean? But I would try and say to the kids, look, see, if you want to get into that life, you've got to be prepared to do the time and that, you know what I mean?
Or possibly die. I mean, look at how many times
you've
brushed with the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a lot of people dying, you know what I mean? Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, this channel's not about glamorising crime. We like to show these stories so you can see what can actually happen, the consequences of it as well. We're just in the last section now, Ian. Are there any stories that you feel that we've missed out today that you've not said yet that you'd like to...
I'm trying to think of one. Did I tell you I get a jail in an aeroplane?
I like the sound of this.
I hadn't even took off. I've been arrested at three airports, and this one I actually went to prison for, and it was 4 years ago. I was going to Fuerteventura, and I was on the plane. I was seeing this lassie, and we took at the back of the plane, and you know the thing with the locker above, and it was for Glasgow Airport. It was January, snowing as well. I was stupid, can't. So I went to put my small luggage, and there's a girl. She's 20 years service, by the way. She's went, oh, and I got into an argument with her or something, and I think I just threw my passport at her. So this guy stood up and he went, here you fanny, right? Something like that. And I went right out to him. I went, I'll fucking take your fucking neck off or something. Right? So they kind of cooled it down. And I went and sat with this older couple. They went, oh, just be quiet, son, and all that. And then the announcement came over there with the pilot. There's going to be a big brother, he never says that, a big brother eviction.
Yeah,
two
yeah.
people, right? So I thought we were just going to get chipped off. Then the next minute, the couple I'm sitting with says, by the way, look at all the fucking police coming. They're trying to drive me off the fucking plane and all that. And they took me down to Greenock Police Station. And do you know what they actually says to me? They jailed me, right? They jailed me with a breach of the peace. Mr. Hall, you know. So they says to us at Greenock Police Station, they says, Ian, they says, listen, you're going to get out. I'll let you out in a couple of years. Like, I don't get out. But they let me out. And out and done. I think it was about 10 or 20 quid. But I had a credit card. And they went, Ian, straight out of Greenock. We don't want you here. I says, where's the nearest Witherspoon's pub? I went round there, I was drinking and all that, you know what I mean? And actually went up to court for it, and I got a 2 month prison sentence for it. For arguing, I've served people worse. It's just, I think it's causing my records. So it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's because you've got previous that, isn't it?
And a couple of years ago as well, 4 years ago, papers made a bit of a pygmy laughing song about this. I went into a cafe in Duke Street, it's called Coyers, and I was steaming for the night before, and that's for a cup of coffee. This is £3 or £4, it's just an ordinary scheme. And I was going about shouting the West End in Glasgow is a snobby bit. And I was going to be shouting West End prices in East End. And I ended up going to court. I got 140 years community service. I got a 3 month drink and alcohol course, 18 months supervision. supervision.
I won't pay no more than 150 for a cup of coffee.
I know. So when I went to the social worker to see her for 18 months, I says, I'm no fucking thing, mate. Get along with this. I says, there's people at the community service stab people and fucking robberies, and I'm getting this for shouting West End places and East End. And the drug worker was the same. I says, I'm not doing that. I says, I was out last week having 40 lines, mate, and 40 fucking drinks. And he went, because I've done a big sentence and all that. And I just thought that the thing with the punishment that never thing with the crime. The crime was just made of shouting as a breach of the peace. And the community service, I went and done that. I hated doing that. So
what'd you have to do?
You know what I mean? You had to go and you were painting fences.
Painting fences.
And you'd get into old churches and things like that. You know what I mean? I had to go twice a week. But that was a couple of things I was done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. There was loads of things that I meant to say the day, but I wrote it all down. And I would just like to say, in where I stay just now, there was it became a pal of mine. I've been in the flat 3 years. I get found in his house 2 weeks today. Boy Greg Scott, and there was another woman. She was a nice woman. She was found last year in Lassie Hazel. I mean, a woman Hazel. So it was quite sad, you know what I mean, on the close. But apart from that, life goes on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to hold your book up, because if people want to get the full details, we've got Ian MacDonald. The book is called Blink, A Journey Through Gangland Mayhem.
A very handsome you, Matt Donald, if you don't mind me saying so.
Thank you very much, Graeme.
We've got stories about Archie Hall, Charles Bronson, Ronnie O'Sullivan Sr. And we did go over some of those stories.
I just spoke
on
to Ronnie Sr. When I left you in February last year, I popped into Chigwell to see him. I hadn't seen him for about years and years. And he popped in and saw him, and he took us for some eating up. I was actually speaking to him this morning.
Really?
I told him I was here. I says, I'm then the same guy, Sean Atwood. So he's good. He's been a good pal.
If you want to watch part one, the 3 hours, 35 minutes, I think it was, first podcast, it's at the top of the description box below this video. Check the book out. Please subscribe. If you're not subscribed, it is free to subscribe. Subscription box is in the bottom right-hand corner. Huge thank you to all the people who've donated on PayPal, Patreon, Just Giving, Subscribe Star. All those links are in the description box below the video.
T-shirt.
Our merch, we've got Wildman T-shirts. I've spoken to the T-shirt company, and they are now available all year round. I know it was campaign, stop, start, but they're now going to be available all year round. And I'm speaking to another T-shirt company about having Epstein T-shirts and wanted Ghislaine Maxwell and stuff like that. So this doesn't make Wildman very happy, but we'll see how that goes down. And if you've got questions and comments, if you've enjoyed this video, please put it in the comments. Let us know if you'd like to see Wildman, Chet, Blink all in here. Having a crazy day podcast, like we had a crazy day Christmas.
And please comment if you'd like me to write a book or Sean to do a book for me.
Yes, the Wildman book is in the pipeline. We will be getting you a Wildman book out as well.
Before fucking Epstein gets one out.
All right, brother. Yeah, thanks again, man. Brilliant. Yeah, yeah.